Destroy Depression and Return to Joy, written by James Schaller, MD, MAR, and Kimberly Mountjoy, MS. Quick Depression Solutions. Depression is a common medical condition affecting hundreds of millions of people worldwide. However, each case is unique and requires personalized care and specific treatment strategies. Very few people are aware of all the powerful causes and solutions that will be discussed in the following pages. These insights can strengthen your relationships, save your career, or your life. Sertraline, Zoloft, fluoxetine, Prozac, and imipramine stimulate the growth of brain cells. LED IR or NIR. Which light therapy offers a 93% depression cure rate? A high-powered near-infrared NIR light can penetrate deep into the brain, promoting recovery from depression and trauma. Even if you're taking the maximum dose of an antidepressant, you may still fall in the lower 30% of blood and urine testing level, indicating that you could benefit from a higher dose. The published maximum antidepressant doses in books are not the maximum dose. Consider seeking treatment from both psychiatrists, who are medical doctors, and PhD psychologists, who are non-medical therapists. Depression stems from biological causes. This book lists common emerging infections that cause depression. Ticks, fleas, and 10 other biting insects can give you Bartonella, Babesia, or Lyme disease. Outdated lab tests often miss these infections, leading to years of depression. Bartonella is commonly found in 20% of healthy Europeans and Brazilians. Deep TMS is a newer, more advanced form of TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, that improves mood. TMS safely and rapidly targets deep brain regions by the use of amazingly powerful magnets, helping reverse depression in about 80% of patients in as little as 5 days. SAINT or rapid TMS appears to be even more effective. All major classes of antidepressants alter unique and specific neurotransmitters. Serotonin is just a well-known example. For decades, I have had great success by using antidepressants from different neurotransmitter classes together. Reject the idea of aging naturally. Would you allow your living space to naturally accumulate dust, hair, lint, garbage, flaking paint, worn-out rugs, or spoiled food? In my practice, we have one aging goal. Every person should live very healthy and happy lives to very late decades. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, floods your brain with oxygen, which promotes brain repair. For maximum wellness, ensure your hormone levels are thoroughly evaluated with at least 9 specific tests. One critical hormone for women is bioidentical natural progesterone, chemically identical to the hormone a woman produces, promoting calm and serenity. There are over 30 effective ways to treat antidepressant-related sexual side effects. See Chapter 3. We are not aware of a more comprehensive collection of solutions. Intravenous ketamine, administered once a week in low non-addictive doses, supports brain repair over time and can significantly reduce depression. Herpes viruses can merge with human genes. In some cases, long-term, high-dose treatment with Valtrex may be needed to protect the brain. Semaglutide reduces inflammation in many key pathways, potentially reducing the risk of seizures and alleviating depression when used with low-dose precision. Additionally, excess weight contributes to systemic inflammation. If your current medication provides only a 30% improvement, don't stop taking it. Instead, combine it with one of the innovative treatments listed below to improve results. An inflamed or infected brain may react more intensely to any treatment, requiring very small starting doses. Some depression medications may affect the brain even after the drug has left the bloodstream. We refer to this type of sensitive brain as a bruised brain. We discovered that Zoloft, the antidepressant sertraline, may have a blood level of 0 24 hours after taking the pill, but you still experience initial side effects, for example, headache or low appetite. Starting doses of antidepressants are often too high, causing fear or rejection of the medication. Your new psychiatrist should consider your past side effects and begin with a very low dose, even lower than the smallest manufactured pill, especially if you're highly sensitive to medications or allergens, or if you suffer from high anxiety. For example, if the lowest dose sertraline tablet is 25 milligrams, you may only be able to tolerate a quarter of that at the beginning. Peptides are short strings of amino acids. A peptide called PE2228 has been shown to reduce depression in just 4 days in both mice and humans. If you have experienced minimal benefit from 3 different antidepressants, ask your psychiatrist about MAO, a powerful class of medication that impacts multiple brain chemicals. In specific clinical scenarios, the combination of 2 antidepressants like an MAOI and TCA antidepressant can be used in treatment-resistant depression, but only with supervision by a psychiatrist. Depression often causes fatigue, so aim for at least 8 hours of sleep. Some physicians may prescribe medications to help reduce fatigue if you need to keep working. Some patients may require doses higher than the highest recommended doses. For example, bupropion, Wellbutrin, can often be prescribed up to 450 milligrams, although the starting dose may need to be as low as 37.5 milligrams or even lower in some cases. Depression can make you sad, irritable, and take the joy out of things you once loved. But with expert treatment, these feelings fade over time. Effective treatment will reverse your lack of pleasure. Lost joy ends. It will never drag on as you may fear. Depression creates the perception of distance, especially emotional distance. Has your depression created the feeling of distance between you and your closest friend or loved one? The treatments in this book should restore that connection. You are not alone. 10 to 20% of people worldwide experience depression. Do you want support? Ask for help in clear, specific ways. If possible, rely on a trusted person to help ease your burden. Stem cells from non-emergency C-section infant birth may lower depression. I have not needed these for 99.9% of my patients. One hallmark of depression is numbness or indifference toward the idea of dying. Is there anything, an action, a person, or an activity that brings even a small spark of hope? Hold on to that spark and make time for it. Depression makes it harder to think clearly. Try not to push your brain too hard. Ensure the most essential aspects of your life remain stable. A strong support system, e.g. family, friends, romantic partners, and a stable living space can help you heal. Ask your psychiatrist if you might have bipolar disorder, since its treatment is different from that of depression. For a scale to assess bipolar disorder, go to https://screening.mhanational.org/screening-tools/bipolar/. If your mood improves, do not stop your treatment quickly. The underlying causes are often still present. If you have had no depression for some time, you can try lowering your antidepressant dose gradually. Stopping too quickly can cause discomfort. Your brain needs time to adjust to a lower dose. Ask your psychologist about their counseling treatment methods. Do they use one approach or multiple strategies? All can have value. As you listen, ask yourself, do I feel comfortable with the plan? When speaking with a potential therapist, ask yourself, do I feel safe? Is the therapist knowledgeable? Is their empathy genuine, or does it feel forced? Avoid burnout by taking time off every week to rest and recharge. If you experience sleep problems like snoring or gasping, ask a loved one to record you or use a digital sleep monitoring device overnight. You might be surprised by what you discover. If you wake up feeling tired or make unusual sleep sounds, consult a sleep specialist physician. Any significant indoor mold or bacterial contamination may be exposing you to biological toxins, which can make you very sick. They must be removed from your environment. If you wish, refer to my 3 co-authored books on mold medicine, written with biotoxin pioneers Dr. Richie Shoemaker and Dr. Gary Rosen. You can also find helpful articles at personalconsult.com. A knowledgeable remediator like Dr. Rosen is critical in completely fixing any mold or biotoxin issues. Not all remediators are experts. Consider trying a natural antidepressant, SAMe, which is produced in the body. The recommended dose is typically between 1,200 to 2,000 milligrams per day, taken before 1 p.m. You will need to take about 1 to 3 B-complex vitamins, which are the fuel of SAMe. Do not exceed 100 milligrams of vitamin B6 with SAMe. You can also take high-potency liquid or gel omega-3 fatty acids, such as Nordic Naturals Ultimate Omega-2X or Omega XL Joint and Muscle Support, 2 doses, twice a day. Or try the delicious Core Omega Orange Custard, which gives you 4,800 milligrams in just 2 very small packets. neurofeedback and biofeedback can provide mood support. Depression could be linked to abnormal chemical release by mast cells filled with 1,000 infection-killing poisons hitting your brain or your entire body. This condition, called mast cell activation syndrome, MCAS, is common but not part of routine medical school or residency training. Toxins from our environment accumulate in the body over time, potentially affecting brain function and mood. For example, if you reach the age of 40, you will have ingested over 25 pounds of microplastics. The buildup of these toxins may make depression worse, but there are effective and fascinating ways to remove them that not only lower your cancer risk, but also help mood. During winter, lower power sunlight and gray skies may increase the need for 10,000 lux lightbox therapy. www.sunbox.com. Alcohol and illegal drugs are known to contribute to depression. Certain habits, like frequent pornography use, gambling, reading romance novels, chasing constant romantic highs, binge shopping, and smoking can also make it worse. See Dopamine Nation by Anna Lemke. Treatments might take more than 12 weeks for their full effect. I seldom wait that long and may use multiple treatments to end depression misery quickly and then reduce the number of treatments. Doctors may need to prescribe antidepressants for children with severe depression, starting with a low dose to minimize side effects. Suicides were not increased. Although not typically used for depression, antipsychotics can be very helpful because they have 10 different uses. Don't get hung up on the word antipsychotic. Autoimmunity can cause depression. Basic tests learned in medical school can miss it. Can 7%. Consider ordering the Molecular Labs Cunningham panel. Autoimmunity caused by Lyme disease, strep, and Bartonella may potentially damage the brain and other tissues. Measure your inflammatory markers by ordering the LH14 test from Radiance Diagnostics, Appendix 2. Testing for these chemicals through large national labs is often not helpful and not accurate. If you're experiencing depression, be sure to get your free T3 levels tested, not just TSH. You can have low free T3, even when the popular TSH is normal. Lithium and lamotrigine, Lamictal, may be helpful, but you can stop them if they don't help. Lithium lowers suicides. Treat any underlying condition that causes physical pain, as pain can exacerbate depression. Manage severe pain aggressively. No one is ever content living with the sensation of a knife lodged in their thigh. Improving gut bacterial balance can have a significant impact on your mood. 100 trillion gut bacteria talk chemically to your brain. Taking a good probiotic-prebiotic supplement can help achieve a healthy balance of gut flora. Look for a brand that has 50 to 300 billion CFU. Multiple strains are preferable. Choose a high-quality multivitamin that goes beyond one tablet a day. Most low-dose, mass-market multivitamins may prevent severe deficiencies and occasionally improve child and adult mood, behavior, and cognition, but they don't address the higher optimal doses needed for robust health benefits. Think beyond cost. ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, is often the treatment of choice for doctors when managing their own depression. I once believed this was a dangerous, crazy, outdated, and abusive therapy until I witnessed many patients improving profoundly and rapidly. ECT is not always readily available in all areas and may not be covered by insurance. Magnesium supports over 300 body functions. It promotes nerve health and boosts the anti-inflammatory system. Ask your doctor about prescribing a potent custom-made prescription magnesium cream applied to your skin. Vagus nerve stimulation may help regulate mood, reduce inflammation, and improve resilience to stress. Dopamine-enhancing medications such as ADHD stimulants like Ritalin or Concerta may improve motivation, focus, and overall mood stability in individuals with treatment-resistant depression. For major depression, relying on just 5 standard blood tests is not enough. Comprehensive testing is essential for identifying contributors to depression. The 250 medical depression causes may include inflammation, hormone imbalances, nutrient deficiencies, and metabolic issues. You might need 10 or more lab tests merely to assess your sex hormone levels. Postpartum depression can be treated successfully with the right combination of medical, psychological, and lifestyle interventions, leading to full recovery for most individuals. People naturally need connection and closeness. Getting better means some positive time for family, friends, or other social connections, even when it's hard. Try to trust those who are worthy of trust. Negative thought patterns can worsen depression. These are often completely outside of your awareness, but they can significantly increase depression or slow down your recovery. Some psychologists provide a safe, confidential relationship to address the non-biological causes of depression. We know that positive relationships drop suicide rates. Beliefs and thoughts have a profound impact on your biology. When you're dealing with depression, it can be tough to heal past hurt or loss, like the loss of a spouse, parent, sibling, or best friend. Depression prevents working through hurtful experiences, heal your mood, and then metabolize past losses. Depression makes even mild criticisms or interactions feel as if you've been hit by a car. What once felt like feathers now feels like punches. Psilocybin microdosing has helped some individuals with depression, and it might be an option depending on the laws of your state or country. Do you have an exercise routine? Try exercise or sports that give you pleasure. Walking and biking might help elevate mood because of many biological changes. Ignore those who dismiss the profound contributions of psychiatric science and lack advanced training in psychiatry. Some high school graduates on social media mock psychiatric medications in an uninformed and reckless manner. Medical school and 5 years of training in psychiatry do not make someone an expert in the biology of mood. Surround yourself with positivity. Uplifting environments, beautiful objects, humor, hopeful moments, helpful influences, and the things you've always loved. Empathy is a very powerful antidepressant. Metformin, a drug used to control blood sugar in type 2 diabetes, may also offer antidepressant benefits by reducing inflammation. Food is made up of chemicals that directly influence the chemicals in your brain. Limiting sugar and refined white flour can help reduce inflammation, stabilize blood sugar, and support emotional well-being. Use one of the excellent free depression scales in Appendix 1 to quickly measure your mood before, during, and after treatment. A scale provides an objective measure of progress rather than relying on subjective feelings. Chapter 1. Do I have major depression? Major depression is more than just feeling sad. It includes persistent emotional and physical symptoms that last for more than 2 weeks, much longer than typical responses to stress. If you are reading this book, you or a loved one have depression, and your experience with healers may have been the patient failed therapy. Treatments fail, patients don't. This statement has become medical lingo, but can lead patients and their families to feel marginalized and cause them to lose trust in their healer. Symptoms of major depression: intense sadness, irritability, emptiness, loss of interest in past pleasures, agitation that doesn't subside, feeling like a failure, thinking you are useless, being overwhelmed with guilt, socializing or working may feel overwhelming, sleeping too much or struggle with poor quality sleep, losing interest in activities you once enjoyed, feeling worthless or insignificant, experiencing excessive fatigue, having trouble concentrating and making decisions, weight or appetite changes, such as overeating or loss of appetite, feeling restless or, conversely, move more slowly, believing that nothing in life matters. Some people imagine dying from sudden health issues, such as a heart attack. Others may wish for a terminal illness, like cancer, as an escape from emotional pain. Some people lose hope and consider suicide. Suicide keys. Do not be alone. Call or text 988 for Suicide Lifeline. Do not drink alcohol. Read this book. If you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, call or text 988. No cell phone, dial 1-800-273-8255. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline has trained counselors available 24/7. Remove access to weapons from the home, car, or any location. Cheap gun safes can often be opened with a screwdriver. Family or responsible adults must provide constant supervision, night and day. Suicides are very rare when someone is watched constantly. If you have serious suicidal thoughts and a plan, do not be alone, not even for a minute. Military and correctional facilities monitor at-risk individuals 24/7. This approach is highly effective. Half of suicide victims have high alcohol levels in their blood. Studies show that nearly 50% of suicides involve intoxicated individuals. Avoid alcohol and other intoxicants if experiencing suicidal thoughts, even if they temporarily alleviate anxiety. Suicidal thoughts often stem from chemical imbalances in the brain that require correction through medications, antibiotics, hormone optimization, modulation of excess mast cell reactivity, as well as the other medical interventions discussed in this book. Words have power. Painful words can push someone towards suicide. People may take their own lives after hearing devastating statements like, "You're fired," or "I want a divorce," or "You were a terrible parent," or "We are done." Consider adding a mood stabilizer such as Abilify to other treatments. It helps regulate mood, behavior, and thoughts. Consider very rapid-acting treatments like deep TMS, ECT, antidepressant peptides, or ketamine, which may remove suicidal urges quickly. Serotonin and suicide risk. Serotonin is a naturally occurring chemical in the body that acts as both a neurotransmitter and a hormone. It functions in mood stabilization and the feelings of well-being and happiness, regulates sleep patterns, appetite and digestion, helps in the process of blood clotting, affects sexual function, muscle control, and other bodily processes. Low levels of serotonin have been linked to various mental health conditions, including depression, anxiety disorders, and phobias. Medications that increase serotonin levels are often used to treat these conditions. Research suggests that people who die by suicide often have impaired serotonin signaling due to reduced serotonin release. Abnormal serotonin metabolites have been found in the brains of suicide victims. But depression and suicide are not limited to one brain chemical. Genetics and suicide risk. Suicide risk can run in families. Children of parents who died by suicide have a higher risk, even if they're raised in non-suicidal households. Thyroid function and suicide risk. Individuals who attempt suicide often have lower levels of free T3, the active thyroid hormone. See Chapter 8 for information on testing. Suicide risk in major depression can be as high as 15%, but proven treatments can lower this risk significantly. Please listen. You can and will recover. Before giving up, read this book in full. Have you tolerated misery? Don't settle for vague motivational quotes or social media advice. Seek qualified professionals who specialize in treating depression. In the Bible, the book of Job tells the story of a man who lost everything: his children, wealth, livestock, health, and even his sense of hope. His wife turned away from him. His friends blamed him for his suffering. But they were wrong, and God corrected them. One of their false claims was that suffering is always a punishment for wrongdoing. While that can sometimes be true, it was not the case for Job. Yet, despite unimaginable pain, Job never gave up on God, and a thread of hope remained. Most adults, and even some children, can relate to the experience of senseless suffering. That kind of dark confusion is incredibly difficult. In the end, Job recovers his life and joy. This book is written to help you do the same. Have you convinced yourself that living with depression is just how life is? It's not. You can heal. You deserve to heal. Job never lost hope. You shouldn't either. There are compassionate, well-trained doctors who have dedicated their lives to helping people just like you heal. Why care about depression? Depression is one of the most common health conditions in the world. It isn't a choice. It comes with clear biological and physical symptoms. Research estimates that 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men will experience a major depressive episode by age 65. The World Health Organization, WHO, reports that 2 to 15% of people with major depression die by suicide. The nations with very low suicide rates have very strong family supports and religious faith. In a single year, 21 million Americans were diagnosed with major depressive disorder, MDD. If you are reading this book, you likely know firsthand the heavy burden of depression and its hopelessness. Many who haven't experienced biological depression may try to encourage you, but their kind words often fall short. However, know this: you are not alone. You are among hundreds of millions worldwide who understand your struggle. Major depression can be fully treated. When seeking treatment, choose experienced professionals, psychologists, or social workers with at least 10 years of expertise. Psychiatrists who are well-versed in antidepressant medications and understand the more than 30 medical conditions that can contribute to depression. This book explores many medical causes of depression, which most psychiatrists have not been trained in or have not researched, so they have blind spots to important causes. One thing we have learned over decades is that medical science has doubled every 2 years, and so has depression treatment. Because our work is exclusively with those whose treatments from great doctors and psychiatrists have failed, we have been forced to learn or invent new solutions so that our patients return to contentment. But be sober about depression. Everyone thinks they are an expert, and the word depression is a common word. Exceptional treatment of depression is very rare. For example, some smart people talk about using an antidepressant for very short periods, such as until the divorce is final, or they are grounded in the new job. Some people only need an antidepressant for less than a year. But others think it is unhealthy or not natural to take an antidepressant and impulsively stop taking it and suffer a relapse coming off it. Do not waste your life avoiding medications that may restore you fully. Many people talk as though they are a sage in advanced neuropsychiatric medicine, but are they really? Trust your health to the real experts in the field. Occasionally, public figures urge people to discontinue psychiatric medications as if they are poisonous. They speak to people they have never met, never evaluated, and never understood. If real expert psychiatrists were to do this, it would be malpractice, and they would lose their license. It would be appropriate for a woman taking medication for depression after losing her spouse and recovering to gradually taper off her medication. But should that decision be based on the advice of a TV anchor, lawyer, minister, influencer, or celebrity? That would be reckless. Discontinuing an antidepressant without medical guidance carries serious risks. Would you trust a chef or a musician to fly a commercial airplane? Only use depression experts. Your decision to continue or discontinue medication should be made with your psychiatrist, not controlled by famous people, influencers, or elite media people. Pressuring or shaming a person into stopping antidepressants that have helped them can promote dysfunction and suicide. It might be worth listening if friends and family feel that treatment has failed, but there is no good reason to stop seeking a cure for depression. A partial cure is unacceptable. Major depression is not terminal cancer. A physician may have many mentors, and as a result, will have different treatment strategies that may be foreign to you. Some treatments will not be appealing, and some may help. A warning from history. Throughout the last century, entire groups have faced unfair judgment, whether Black people, women, Jewish communities, or Japanese individuals. The stigma surrounding mental health follows a similar harmful pattern. In the past, even seizures were once believed to be caused by demonic possession. One social media figure, a businessman with no college science education or any medical background, admits to searching the medicine cabinets of women he dates, looking for psychiatric medications as a red flag to end the relationship. He betrays their trust and violates their privacy, much like rummaging through their underwear drawer, then promotes this behavior as good advice to men. Every person I've treated for depression has recovered. They were not crazy or flawed. If you are reading this book, you are smart and trying to learn. You are humble, seeking optimal brain health. And you will read things I did not know until recently. Never, ever give up. Treatment may involve a combination of 2 antidepressants, hormone adjustments, and guidance from a skilled psychologist. The new solution may be something the psychiatrist or psychologist was never taught, but curiosity leads to new, hopeful solutions. When my family realized this, I started to do 40 hours a week of research and study, and only 20 hours of patient care. The common state physician license requirement for continuing medical education is 40 hours of study every 2 years, 104 weeks. This book highlights valuable tests and treatments that very few psychiatrists were trained to use. If your psychiatrist is uncomfortable ordering them, consider adding a doctor who can. During my depression, I kept my guard up and suffered as a result. Eventually, talking with my spouse, trusted siblings and friends lowered the sense of being alone. Try not to isolate yourself from experts. If you had a broken leg, you would not go to a plumber. Factors contributing to major depression. Hundreds of medical conditions can cause depression. the list of illnesses causing depression in most advanced treatment books is incomplete, with rarely more than 25 listed. If your doctor only runs 6 basic blood tests, they may miss critical underlying conditions. In my practice, comprehensive blood and urine testing often involves 14 to 24 non-fasting tubes every 2 weeks. I frequently identify at least 3 lab abnormalities that indicate a medical contribution to depression in all my patients. Over 250 medical factors can cause depression. Listing all these factors is beyond the scope of this book. Below are listed some key factors that have been shown to cause or exacerbate depression. Genetics, hormone imbalance, bacterial infections, for example, Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia, mast cell activation, autoimmunity, gut permeability, imbalances, and pathologies. Depression has been called the world's number one public health problem. Depression is the common cold of psychiatric disturbances. But there is a grim difference. Depression can kill you. Quoted by David D. Burns. Viral infections, mold and bacterial toxins, addictions, bipolar disorder, anxiety, sleep disorders, pain, grief, toxins. For example, heavy metals, microplastics, pesticides. Nutritional defects, for example, vitamin D's normal range includes the elderly and ill. Yes, major depression is a medical condition, not a character flaw. For years, some educated critics have argued against medications and therapy for major depression. They are, however, correct that many different interventions to increase health can aid recovery. Anti-psychiatry arguments rarely match the real-life success my colleagues and I have seen firsthand hundreds of times a year, year after year. Every few years, vast numbers of new brain chemicals are identified, underscoring how complex the brain is and how little we still understand. It is like looking at the night sky on a cloudy night where a few stars are visible versus what is seen with a top astronomy telescope. The brain regulates sleep, but depression can disrupt the biochemistry of sleep in profound ways. Some people with depression struggle with restless sleep and wake up too early. Others may sleep excessively, up to 10 to 12 hours a day. Both extremes indicate biochemical changes beyond your control. Just as you can't force yourself to wake up early, you can't force yourself to sleep for 10 hours straight. Depression can impair memory at any age. Nursing home residents with Alzheimer's disease often experience major depression, which can worsen memory issues. Treating these patients with antidepressants has been shown to improve memory and help them recognize loved ones. While this does not cure Alzheimer's, it can temporarily ease depression-related memory problems. Brain injuries raise the risk of major depression for 2 key reasons. The emotional impact of the injury, damage to precise brain areas that are more vulnerable to creating poor mood. For stroke patients, antidepressants can boost mood and support recovery. Doctors use brain imaging technology, SPECT scans, to identify patterns that are associated with mental health conditions, such as anxiety, ADD, ADHD, addiction, and depression. Genetics and depression. Genetics also plays a role. People with a family history of depression have a higher risk. The closer the genetic relationship, the higher the risk. Identical twins show a greater similarity in mood disorders than cousins. Biological depression and appetite changes. Sudden appetite changes are common in depression. You might lose your appetite or eat excessively, which can throw off your body's normal hunger signals. Biomarkers and depression diagnosis. No single factor causes major depression. Studies show that blood markers like GABA, dopamine, tyramine, and kynurenine might help with diagnosis and treatment planning. Yet most fine psychiatrists are waiting for more consistent, simpler, and compelling blood or urine markers. Biological depression responds to different trigger chemicals. For greater simplicity, we will talk about a serotonin antidepressant, which reacts with other downstream chemicals to start the process. Each trigger chemical has a vast many impacts inside the neurons. For example, some types of major depression respond to increased norepinephrine or dopamine levels, removal of indoor mold or bacteria and their biotoxins, treatment of common emerging infections not taught in medical schools, residencies, and continuing education, correction of unhealthy hormone levels, nutraceutical and mitochondrial optimization. People who have never dealt with depression think it's just being sad. It's falling into a state of grayness and numbness. quoted by Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons. Skilled help and real empathy with attachment issues and past trauma. Some final words before depression solutions. Depression is a serious medical condition. Major depression is not just a passing sadness, it is a serious medical condition. Telling someone to snap out of it is as unhelpful as saying this to a person with cancer, stroke, or diabetes, and can increase suicidal thoughts. The role of therapy and medication. Specific talk therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, and other vast psychology tools are beneficial. Therapy is most effective when combined with medication, especially for severe depression. It works best as an add-on treatment rather than alone. If you have depression in the lower 30%, you might be cured with psychological therapy alone. Many books on depression exist that report cures without the use of physicians or medications. Some of their points are helpful and support your recovery. However, anti-medical approaches that do not consider the 250 possible medical causes of depression may fail. Emerging alternative medicine can be useful, but practitioners need to avoid overstatement. Why? Major depression may have a 15% suicide risk. It is life or death medicine. Rather than the model that rejects a tool to treat this illness, we use an all-of-the-above approach. We offer a vast number of options beyond 15 antidepressant options. A complete approach to recovery. This book presents many proven, highly advanced options from decades of research. These are the best treatments we know in existence. Only highly aggressive researchers and physicians who study emerging science would find them. By applying a wide range of effective strategies, we can create a strong and lasting foundation for your healing. A 70% improvement in depression symptoms is often considered a successful treatment. However, true success means achieving 100% recovery, returning to a normal mood. Treating depression should be like eradicating a malignant tumor. A cancer surgeon never leaves 30% behind. Our goal for you is full recovery from your depression. Do you use a physician psychiatrist or internist or family doctor? This is not a book for those wanting the simple, straightforward, just take this pill approach. We are offering excellence, not what fits the vast masses who are supposedly all the same. My father, a physician himself, always said, be the expert, and I am a top expert in some areas. Certainly your internist, who may save your life in other ways, is not likely an expert in the care of depression. If you have mild depression and you cannot get an appointment or cannot afford a psychiatrist, you can try a family doctor. They tend to start a medicine a bit too high and tend to only increase it to a modest dose, not an expert top dose. Read about depression and your treatment. Knowledge helps. Over the years, I have observed internists confidently prescribing antidepressants, likely due to government encouragement because of the shortage of child and adult psychiatrists. While some primary care doctors are highly skilled, their knowledge of mood disorders is limited, partly because they would have to know 20 types of medical science that precisely impact mood. How can we demand that they read 25 psychiatry articles a month? I do research full-time to find creative solutions for patients for whom basic depression treatments fail. My advice? Seek treatment from a psychiatrist, but keep your internist and any specialist for all other medical conditions. The FDA and antidepressant dosing. Do your doctors strictly use FDA-approved moderate doses? Remember, the FDA sets safety guidelines, not necessarily the optimal doses for severe depression. Choosing the right psychiatrist. To find a good psychiatrist, use doctor rating websites like vitals.com or healthgrades.com. Look for a rating of 4 stars or higher. Expect some negative reviews, especially if a doctor has over 20 ratings, as some ill and irritable patients may leave harsh feedback due to their cognitive disease. It's important that your depression expert continues to learn groundbreaking treatments every year. Depression treatment is evolving rapidly, with medical research doubling every 2 years. New breakthroughs and refined approaches continue to emerge, making ongoing education essential for healthcare providers. If this book helps you, consider sharing it with your psychiatrist so you are on the same page. Now, let's explore effective solutions. Chapter 2, Treatment with Antidepressants. Most antidepressant doses are not high enough. routine, conservative dosage recommendations. Medication manufacturers often recommend moderate doses approved by the FDA for safety. Expert psychiatrists have found that higher doses are often required for effective and successful results. Some individuals, especially those with brain inflammation, high sensitivity, or anxiety, may require lower, customized starting doses. Typical antidepressant top dosages: fluoxetine, Prozac, 40 mg, sertraline, Zoloft, 200 mg, bupropion, Wellbutrin, 300 mg, venlafaxine, Effexor, 300 mg, escitalopram, Lexapro, 30 mg, citalopram, Celexa, 60 mg. Many psychiatrists start people on the lowest manufactured dose. Very few primary care doctors will write for the doses listed above. For example, escitalopram 30 mg. I am typically treating people for whom treatments have failed. I must usually use doses higher than the top doses listed above. In my practice, most of these amounts fall below what remove depression. Sensitivity to antidepressants. Some patients can be highly sensitive, experiencing noticeable side effects even at low doses. Let us discuss one reason for sensitivity to medication that few know: overactive mast cells, powerful immune cells that fight infections, may contribute to heightened sensitivity. Mast cells are part of your body's alarm system. They look out for harmful invaders, like bacteria or parasites. When they recognize something harmful, they send out signals that open your blood vessels, fill your tissues with fluid, and contract muscles in your GI tract and airways. This is part of inflammation in the body and allergic reactions. They store about 1,000 powerful biochemicals, including antiparasitics, and their overactivity can lead to increased sensitivity to foods, irritants, herbs, and medications, including antidepressants. This issue is more common than many realize and may play a role in depression. We will discuss this in more detail later. Challenges with increasing dosage. Primary care doctors might hesitate to raise bupropion from 300 mg to 450 mg for remaining irritability. If that happens, see a psychiatrist who has treated patients for depression for at least 5 years. In my experience, most patients need 450 mg to feel a real benefit in 3 to 7 weeks. Personalized treatment considerations. The speed of dose adjustments must be tailored to your body's response and potential side effects. Request a blood or urine level test of your antidepressant and its metabolite if available. Low results may indicate that you could tolerate a higher dose for better effectiveness. If your psychiatrist does not routinely check medication levels, ask if they would consider it in your next session. More details below. Importance of blood and urine level testing, urinalbrozekepling. If your blood level is only at the 35th percentile, will your psychiatrist consider a higher dose? Other doctors ignore the blood and urine levels of a drug and go above the normal milligram range to get further benefit to your mood. Let us consider a real person like you. If your venlafaxine Effexor dose improves your symptoms by only 45% at 450 milligrams, should the dose be increased to 300 mg twice daily or 600 mg a day, particularly if blood levels are low to moderate? This is an option, but I would add another antidepressant that impacts different brain chemicals before raising venlafaxine to 600 mg per day. Many good doctors may never prescribe such a high dose of venlafaxine, but I think it is an option in very rare situations. Challenges in testing and dose adjustments. There is limited advanced research on very high doses of antidepressants. Your local commercial laboratory may not offer blood or urine levels of your antidepressant. Key takeaways: a psychiatrist who does not perform blood or urine level testing should consider them if you are not improving. For example, with two antidepressants at high dosing. There is no harm in merely asking for testing if your treatment is not giving you a full recovery. Many excellent psychiatrists do not use blood or urine levels. High doses should always be considered before judging a medication a failure. Very high dosing is rare and should not prevent the use of any psychiatrist. For example, 450 mg of venlafaxine is basic care, but 600 mg is rare. You should not fire a psychiatrist who will not offer rare high doses. Highly effective antidepressants called MAOIs, monoamine oxidase inhibitors, are rarely used. Why MAOIs matter? MAOIs are powerful and highly effective antidepressants that have been in use for over 70 years. They work by keeping the enzyme monoamine oxidase from breaking down neurotransmitters like serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. The result is improved mood and decreased symptoms of depression. Choosing a psychiatrist who is open to prescribing them can be crucial if other treatments fail. Recent comprehensive reviews on MAOIs can be shared with your doctor for reference. For example, if you give them the reference, Journal of Affective Disorders, Volume 282, 1st Mar 2021, pp. 1153 FF, they will know how to find this article easily. Taking MAOIs requires you to avoid some foods and medications. It's a small trade-off compared to the potential benefit, a return to joy and well-being. A few examples of MAOIs: Selegiline Transdermal Gel, Nardil Phenelzine, Parnate Tranylcypramine, Advanced Psychiatric MAOI Combinations. Some highly experienced psychiatrists combine MAOIs with tricyclic antidepressants for greater effectiveness. Tricyclic antidepressants, TCAs, work by increasing the levels of neurotransmitters like serotonin and norepinephrine in the brain, which can improve mood and reduce symptoms of depression. TCAs have been around for quite a while and were the primary treatment for depression before newer antidepressants like SSRIs and SNRIs were developed. If an antidepressant only helps 30%, don't stop. Consider adding an additional treatment. Switching to another medication alone may not replicate the 30% improvement from your first antidepressant. Instead, consider adding a second antidepressant, but only after using the first at a sufficiently high dose. Mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It is easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. Quoted by C.S. Lewis. How does this work? Please understand that a second antidepressant may help fix other chemical imbalances. A serotonin medicine used with one triggering dopamine and norepinephrine is a treatment that works much better than either medicine alone. Using a medicine that acts differently in addition to the first medication may be significantly more effective than either alone. A sample patient. Class 1 first antidepressant, 30% improvement. Class 4 second antidepressant, additional 25% improvement. Correcting hormonal imbalances, another 15% boost. Antidepressants are very different from each other. Some antidepressants can affect from 1 to 6 neurotransmitters and a vast number of other downstream biochemicals. Antidepressants are grouped by what they trigger in the brain first. Your antidepressant medication will probably affect one or more of the brain triggers below: dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, serotonin, histamine, acetylcholine, tyramine. You suddenly stop an antidepressant after taking it for months. Stopping an antidepressant abruptly can lead to withdrawal symptoms such as insomnia, sadness, anxiety. How to discontinue safely? Always reduce your dosage gradually under a doctor's supervision. Some doctors may underestimate the need for slow tapering and decrease your dose by 20% every week. Decreasing your dose this quickly, especially during your last 5%, is often uncomfortable. You may suddenly feel irritable, lose your appetite, or get a headache. To be clearer, if the dose of your medication that was helpful was 40 milligrams a day, you may need to end with 0.5 milligrams a day or less before you stop. I have removed patients from every addictive medicine requiring a very slow taper. The best determination of an effective slow taper is the lack of withdrawal signs, such as headaches, irritability, sleep issues, and a loss of appetite. For instance, if you decreased your dose from 20 milligrams to 10 milligrams and became irritable and couldn't sleep, you reduced the dose too aggressively. When carefully managed, tapering should be a smooth and comfortable experience. It is not possible to guess how long it will take to come off a medication. The longer you are on it, the longer it will take to taper it. It may require 6 months or longer. You are no longer depressed, so you stop your antidepressant. Feeling better? You may wonder, why take a pill if I feel fine? Some people only need them for 6 to 18 months. For instance, a woman who lost her husband to cancer relied on medication to navigate her grief and made a full recovery after 18 months. doctors and therapists usually have no financial interest in drug companies that manufacture mood medications. There is no hidden agenda to keep you on these generic medications. Risk of relapse. Many people who stop their antidepressants experience a relapse into depression. If you are considering stopping, discuss this with a psychiatrist to determine the best approach. If reducing from 40 milligrams to 30 milligrams of your antidepressant causes depressive symptoms, this suggests biological depression, not withdrawal. 40 milligrams may be the necessary dose for maintaining happiness. Beware of anti-psychiatry myths. Some activists promote the false claim that antidepressants should be discontinued within a month. Others shame people who use antidepressant treatment as taking the easy way out. Many essential substances, treatments for high blood pressure or heart rhythm drugs, should never be stopped abruptly. Would you suddenly stop taking stroke-preventing medication? Half of the individuals prescribed antidepressants do not take them as recommended. Some people skip doses because the medication takes time to show results. Initial side effects, such as headaches, nausea, and loose stools, usually subside within 2 to 6 days. A small weight gain is possible with some medications, but currently there are many solutions to address this. For many people, the biggest deal breaker is the presence of sexual side effects, especially difficulty achieving orgasm or delayed orgasm. Before you stop your medication, discuss this with your physician. In Chapter 3 of this book, we have many solutions for sexual side effects. Some people prefer to be well-informed about the side effects of their prescribed medications. However, your doctor may not have time to list every possible reaction, so take the initiative and read at least 2 articles about any new antidepressant you are prescribed. This way, if you experience mild nausea or trouble sleeping, you won't be alarmed. Most side effects fade within a few days or a week. If they persist, inform your doctor. Your dosage may need adjustment. I typically start with a very low dose and gradually increase it every 3 to 5 days. I do not follow a rigid protocol because everyone's body chemistry is unique. Start cautiously, but do not waste time on an ineffective dose. Hopelessness can lead people to give up on treatment too soon. Only stop when you are fully cured, no sooner. If you are not getting better, seek a second or even third opinion. My success rates are higher than the percentages below, which are reasonable for good psychiatrists. Approximately 32% of patients improve with their first antidepressant. Approximately 46% felt better when assisted by a second antidepressant. I see a much higher benefit with 2 different medications. Others find relief after adding another type of treatment found in this book. Exercise caution, as depression can lead to hopelessness, which can cause you to abandon treatment prematurely, resulting in prolonged impairment. Depression lies. It tells you you've always felt this way, and you always will, but you haven't and you won't. Quoted by Hallie Cornell, the key takeaway, any improvement is progress. Never give up if one medication does not fully restore you to normal. Biological depression may make you feel hopeless, especially if 2 medications only provide partial relief. However, it may be a cumulative improvement that requires patience. 2 medications may help by 55%, correcting a low thyroid level, raising your free T3 from 2.7 to 3.9, may add more to the progress, and applying over 75 solutions offered here may ultimately lead to full recovery. Antidepressants promote brain tissue growth. Antidepressants promote brain tissue growth. Why is this not commonly known? There are many studies that show this. For example, sertraline, Zoloft, boosted new nerve cell growth by about 25% in 10 days. New Scientist, April 13, 2013. For example, both fluoxetine, Prozac, and an entirely different class of older antidepressant, a tricyclic antidepressant, TCA, imipramine, regrow brain tissue in lab mice. Remember, in the first few pages of this book, there is a picture which depicts neurons with branches. Healthy neurons showed many branches, while unhealthy, depressed neurons showed few. The fewer the branches, the poorer the connections. It takes many weeks for nerves to form new strong connections. Antidepressants and brain chemistry. Other antidepressants from 3 different classes promote neuron health by altering various neurotransmitters, for example, norepinephrine, epinephrine, and serotonin. This is a reason one antidepressant works and another fails. The different types are not clones. Stimulating any neuronal receptor triggers immense chemical changes inside of the cell. Scientists identify more of these chemicals each year, making neuronal biochemistry books outdated every 1 to 2 years. SAMe is an effective natural option for mood support. What is SAMe? SAMe, S-adenosyl methionine, is a naturally occurring compound in the body. It is essential for over 200 biochemical reactions, including neurotransmitter production, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. It is available as a prescription in some European countries, but is an over-the-counter supplement in the U.S. Scientific research on SAMe. Studies show SAMe may reduce depression. A review found SAMe was more effective than a placebo when combined with SSRIs. A low starting dose after 2 days, 800 milligrams per day. The highest dose increases are 200 milligrams to 400 milligrams daily for a final dose not greater than 2400 milligrams. Effectiveness and dosage. Symptomatic improvement is observed within days to 3 weeks. Common dosing ranges from 1200 to 2000 milligrams in the morning, accompanied by 2 B-complex vitamins. B vitamins are essential with this treatment. For example, SAMe can lower pyridoxine, vitamin B6 levels. Your total daily B6 intake should not exceed 100 milligrams. We do not have enough research on SAMe doses over 2400 milligrams. Bipolar patients may use 200 to 1000 milligrams with psychiatric supervision. Clinical findings. A study found 200 to 1,000 milligrams of SAMe improved depression in SSRI-resistant cases within 6 weeks. Most common side effects are gastrointestinal issues and headaches. However, in my experience, SAMe is rarely discontinued due to side effects. Children and depression. Children are not just small adults. They require more sleep, between 10 and 13 hours, and their bodies react differently to antidepressants. Your child has severe depression and you fear a medication side effect is suicide. There is a reason why specializing in child and adolescent psychiatry requires 2 additional years of intensive training. TV doctors and politicians who do not have child and adolescent psychiatry training are raising concern about antidepressants causing suicide in children and adolescents. Many treatment options exist for a depressed child. Offer them consistent support and love, and encourage them to talk. Often support alone isn't enough. It's also essential to explore their negative thoughts. Ensure safety at home, in the neighborhood, on social media, and at school. Depression can affect the child's ability to function in school, so their classwork and homework should be tailored to their capacities. Shield them from unnecessary adult stress, including parental conflicts, which should remain as private as possible. If you struggle with alcohol or substance abuse, seek help immediately. In cases of divorce, co-parenting should remain respectful, with both parents acting as a united front for the child. Children should not be told negative things about past spouses or live-in partners. Depression hurts a child's growth, grades, friendships, and family relationships. Additional factors that raise a child's risk of depression include a family history of depression, or exposure to abuse at home, school, including during extracurricular activities like sports or music lessons. It's also essential for children to feel safe in their neighborhoods. Additionally, profound hardships, such as the death or severe illness of a parent, addiction in a parent or adolescent, and chronic medical problems in the child can contribute to depression. Children are like delicate eggs that require care in every possible way. Is a higher suicide risk linked to the use of antidepressants in children and adolescents? First, the answer depends on the psychiatrist's experience and the starting dose of the medication. The starting doses are often too high in the first 2 weeks, which can produce new agitation and restlessness. If a child is highly suicidal, you do not have the luxury of weeks to reach an effective dose. The issue of child suicide with antidepressant treatment came from the FDA black box warning about increased suicidal thoughts and activities in children and adolescents treated with antidepressants. My position is similar to a Mayo Clinic report that the FDA's suicide warning is not based on real suicide attempts by children and adolescents. There were no increased suicides using antidepressants. They explain, some children and teens taking antidepressants had a small increase in suicidal thoughts compared with those taking a sugar pill, placebo. But none of the children in any of the studies actually took their own life. Friedman in the New England Journal of Medicine states that the FDA warning should be removed entirely. Off-label prescribing for your child or you. If you or your child cannot afford to be treated by a child and adolescent subspecialist or any psychiatrist, consider getting a second opinion from one. Why? They are more open to dosing that has not been approved by the FDA, off-label dosing. This means the FDA approves a drug for depression at a top dose of 40 milligrams, but over time, psychiatrists realize it treats depression best at 70 milligrams, and it helps OCD. For example, someone washing their hands relentlessly to the point of being raw or feeling a great drive to perform precise rituals constantly. Higher doses may cause cure of both mood and OCD. My sickest OCD patients do best with 2 to 3 treatments. In the US, about 50% of medications are prescribed off-label to provide a more effective treatment. Ask your doctor if he ever prescribes antidepressants above the standard FDA dose. Will he or she go to a higher daily milligram dose because depression specialists, psychiatrists, have a higher standard national dose? Healy, will he or she run blood or urine levels of any medications affecting mood, for example, antidepressants or hormones? Chapter 3, Solutions to Combat the Sexual Side Effects of SSRIs. Yippee, common but manageable issue. SSRIs, though widely used, can cause sexual dysfunction. Luckily, alternatives exist without this side effect. Good news, it's certainly not permanent. SSRI-induced sexual dysfunction is reversible. Symptoms include low libido, erectile difficulties, delayed or absent orgasm. Solutions available. Over 30 approaches can help manage these effects. This book discusses profoundly diverse and effective alternatives for treating depression without sexual side effects. What are the best solutions available to eliminate these side effects? Hormonal imbalances and sexual dysfunction. Antidepressants with a strong serotonin action produce the most sexual side effects. With these medicines, your sex hormone levels need to be high. Evaluation should cover optimization of key sex hormones, for example, estradiol, progesterone, testosterone, free testosterone, SHBG, DHEA, and DHT levels. Check total testosterone, free testosterone, and DHT dihydrotestosterone. Optimize free testosterone and DHT, but watch for hair thinning from DHT. DHEA is crucial for estrogen and testosterone production. Supplement if low. Pregnenolone and estrogen balance. Pregnenolone should be in the 30th percentile or higher, since it is a precursor to most hormones, including estrogen. Both men and women require balanced estrogen for healthy sexual function and desire. Bioidentical progesterone for women. Women may experience a better mood, in addition to enhanced pleasure, with natural progesterone. Our research confirms it relieves PMS-related depression. Synthetic birth control and HBG issues. Birth control pills can shrink the clitoris by increasing sex hormone binding globulin, SHBG, which lowers available testosterone, decreasing sexual function. A driven, powerful woman may not realize her mood is flat due to a decrease in testosterone, which may still be in the normal range. The duration of SHBG elevation due to long-term synthetic birth control pill use is unknown to us. Male hormone optimization. Routine hormone evaluations for both young and mature men are rare, but essential. Standard normal hormone levels often reflect those of elderly men and women, rather than active, younger, high-energy males. As our population ages, I have observed normal hormone blood levels decrease. Some doctors suspect that the top healthy testosterone levels in past generations were 15% to 25% higher than they are now. Restoring free testosterone and potent DHT to 25 to 35-year-old male levels significantly improves libido, erections, and orgasm quality. Additional hormonal treatments and considerations. Human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, for men. Used to treat low testosterone infertility in men, it stimulates the body to produce more testosterone and sperm. Adding only testosterone in men, treating suboptimal testosterone levels, decreases the functional sperm count. There is no point treating a depressed person as though she was feeling sad, saying, "There now, hang on, you'll get over it." Sadness is more or less like a head cold. With patience, it passes. Depression is like cancer, quoted by Barbara Kingsolver. Clomid, clomiphene, for men. Originally used for ovulation issues in women, it is now also prescribed to men to boost testosterone and maintain sperm production, especially for those wanting children. The gender disparity in hormone testing. Many physicians overlook women's hormone-related sexual health concerns, frequently dismissing them with claims like, hormone levels fluctuate too much. Sex hormone testing and health is often only evaluated in women with fertility trouble who want a baby. A call for comprehensive hormone testing. All women and men with depression and on antidepressants must get full hormone panels automatically, not merely when they are unable to conceive. Thousands of progressive physicians routinely order extensive hormone panels for both men and women. Comprehensive hormone testing has been practiced since the 1960s by forward-thinking doctors. See Chapter 8. Why this matters for antidepressant side effects. When hormone levels drop below the top 30th percentile, the following may become more common: mood instability, irritability, reduced confidence, mental fog. Identify and treat underlying causes of sexual dysfunction. Inflammation, hidden infections, poor blood circulation, scarring, loss of tissue volume, and neurological disorders may reduce genital sensitivity. Treating these conditions often can help restore function. Review medications that affect hormones. Some medications can lower hormone levels or blunt hormonal effects, including diuretics, anti-ulcer drugs, anti-epileptics, antipsychotics, antibiotics, for example, rifampin and rifabutin. Finasteride is commonly used for hair loss, but can severely reduce DHT, leading to depression and sexual dysfunction. Anastrozole prevents the formation of estrogen, that in oncology is a goal with some forms of breast cancer. Men with testosterone replacement will not have excess testosterone to estrogen conversion with a small amount of this tablet. It prevents excess estrogen in men, which can cause gynecomastia, man boobs. Maintain balanced estrogen. A certain amount of estrogen is essential for both men and women to maintain sexual desire. Lifestyle and supplementary approaches. Aerobic exercise can significantly reduce or even fully reverse erectile dysfunction. Dr. Mokarma, sexual medicine researcher, found that regular aerobic activity restores sexual function in many cases. Source: Dr. G. Lyons podcast, YouTube, May 2024. Sexual aids or sex toys and adaptation. A variety of sexual aids are available for both men and women to enhance sexual function. Options and your preferences may evolve over time, like food or clothing choices. SAMe, S-adenosyl methionine, a naturally occurring antidepressant that may help counter sexual side effects. It requires high-quality B vitamins to function properly. Recommended option, Integrative Therapeutics B-complex includes methylfolate, methyl B12, and safe doses of vitamin B6. Amino acid and nitric oxide boosters. L-arginine, a meta-analysis of 47 clinical trials confirmed its effectiveness in supporting sexual function. French maritime pine bark extract enhances blood flow to the penis by correcting nitric oxide deficiencies. L-citrulline converts into L-arginine in the body, providing a similar benefit. If you have herpes, consult your doctor before use. Alternative antidepressants with fewer sexual side effects. Tricyclic antidepressants, TCAs, nortriptyline, and disipramine have fewer sexual side effects than SSRIs, such as Prozac, Zoloft, or Lexapro. Bupropion, Wellbutrin, is in a unique class and has no sexual side effects. Mirtazapine, Remeron, is classified as a noradrenergic and specific serotonergic antidepressant, NASA. Its extensive mechanisms are very different with less sexual side effects. Mirtazapine does not inhibit the reuptake of serotonin, norepinephrine, or dopamine. Monoamine oxidase inhibitors, they carry a lower risk of sexual dysfunction but require some dietary restrictions, for example, avoiding soy sauce, Demerol, aged cheeses, etc. Some examples are Nardil, Parnate, and Eldepril. Pharmaceutical and supplement-based approaches. Sildenafil, Viagra, and Tadalafil, Cialis, may help counteract SSRI-related sexual dysfunction by increasing blood flow and arousal. Nitric oxide enhancement improves libido, orgasm intensity, and genital blood flow for both men and women. Avoid substances that interfere with nitric oxide production, such as alcohol-based mouthwash, fluoride in toothpaste and dental rinses, acid-reducing medications, Tums, Nexium, Pepcid. These disrupt oral and gut bacteria, which are essential for converting dietary nitrates into nitrites, a precursor to nitric oxide. If any of these three above are required, use NatureWise Oral Probiotic Daily and a N101.com product, NOBeats Daily. Nitric Oxide and Sexual Function, Insights from Dr. Nathan Bryan. Nathan Bryan, PhD, is a leading researcher on nitric oxide metabolism. Here are some of his tested supplements to increase nitric oxide. Nitric oxide releasing lozenges with a pleasant taste, NO Beats powder packets, mixed with water for rapid absorption. If too expensive, use what you can afford daily. Suggested dosage: healthy individuals, morning and afternoon, individuals with health concerns, twice daily, avoiding late afternoon to prevent insomnia. Herbal, synthetic, and nutritional solutions proposed for sexual dysfunction. Alpinia galanga, a member of the ginger family, peony glycyrrhiza decoction, clomid, taken as a physician prescribes, tribulus terrestris, associated with testosterone support, saffron and stimulants, both recognized for their potential aphrodisiac properties. Additional proposed testosterone-boosting herbs: ashwagandha, tongkat ali, shilajit, mucuna pruriens, cistanchia and cinnamomum, horny goatweed, maca root, pine bark extract. Important considerations. The first is obvious. Does it work for you? Second, how long is long enough to try the options above? The issue is outside our scope and may be different for each option. Choose third-party tested and respected brands to ensure purity and effectiveness. Avoid hidden testosterone additives in unregulated supplements. FDA approval does not guarantee safety. Standardized herbal supplements should be clinically tested for human efficacy. For a deeper dive into herbal medicine, refer to our books on herbal treatments used to kill depression-promoting infections. Sexual health and its connection to vascular health. Urologist Dr. A. Spitz, author of the Penis Book, recommends Revactin for preventing muscle aging in the penis, reducing scar tissue formation, improving blood vessel health. Key ingredients: ginger, L-citrulline, mirapuama, and guarana extract from the Brazilian Amazon. Sexual and cardiovascular health are deeply linked. Vaginal, clitoral, and penile blood vessels are structurally similar to those in the heart and brain. Sexual dysfunction is an early warning for vascular disease. Poor circulation can increase heart attack risk, especially in women. A proactive heart health measure: a cardiac calcium score CT scan can be ordered by your family doctor and costs $100. It has two related benefits: useful for all patients over 45 to detect early calcium deposits in the coronary arteries. If these deposits are in the heart, they are also present in the groin. Helps detect life-threatening blockages before they result in a heart attack. Optimizing sexual and vascular health with vitamins and hormones. Vitamin D3 is a hormone that controls more genes that regulate immunity, and inflammation than any other hormone. Eugene Shippen, MD, author of The Testosterone Syndrome. Using it with vitamin K2 protects your heart, brain, and genital blood vessels. It supports calcium absorption for strong bones. Vitamin K2, MK7, MK4 ensures calcium is deposited in bones rather than accumulating in arteries or genitals. Recommended brands: Life Extension's K includes three forms of vitamin K, Sports Research Vitamin K. Vitamin D, testing and optimization. Target range, 50 to 100 nanograms per milliliter. If below 50 nanograms per milliliter, supplement with 5,000 to 10,000 IUs of vitamin D3 and vitamin K, retest in a month. Check the parathyroid level and serum calcium, which are excellent tests to show if your vitamin D is too low or too high. Penis pumps, a non-drug solution for erectile function. Uses vacuum pressure to draw blood into the penis. A snug rubber ring at the base helps sustain the erection. Proper fit is essential. Try different ring sizes. Estrogen's crucial role in female sexual health. Testosterone, progesterone, and estrogen influence sexual health. Estrogen, estradiol, deficiency in older women can lead to 20% bone loss in 5 years. Impacts brain function, mood, and sexual desire. Low estrogen levels may increase the risk of depression. Low estrogen may increase cardiac risks, especially after menopause. Vaginal estrogen for postmenopausal women. Vaginal estrogen improves lubrication, vaginal muscle health, sexual function, bladder health. Many women over 50 have undetectable estrogen, which impacts mood, bones, and desire. Ultrasonic wave therapy for genital blood flow and tissue repair. used in fetal imaging and heart evaluation, stimulates tissue movement, relieves pain, and forms blood vessels, enhances clitoral and penile function when applied by trained professionals. Also known as shockwave therapy, low-intensity pulsed ultrasound, acoustic wave therapy, vaginal rejuvenation shockwave therapy. FDA-approved medications for sexual function. Bremelanotide Vyleesi helps women with low sexual desire, may aid men with delayed ejaculation, lasts over 24 hours, stimulates melanocyte-stimulating hormone, MSH. Flibanserin, ADII, 100 mg pill taken at night, increases sexual desire in premenopausal women, effects noticeable after 1 month. Oxytocin, the love hormone and natural libido booster, supports bonding, intimacy, and sexual function. Naturally increased by massage and hugging, eating dark chocolate, maintaining optimal vitamin D3 levels in the upper 35th percentile. In addition, serum calcium and parathyroid hormone levels should be in the normal range. Supplementation options: liposomal vitamin C, transdermal magnesium cream, prescription is required. Strongest form is 500 mg per milliliter and apply highest tolerated, starting at 2 to 4 milliliter daily. Leveraging advanced therapies, FDA-approved medications, and natural hormone boosters can enhance sexual health and function in both men and women. The role of peptide therapy in sexual health. Peptides are strings of amino acids. Some peptides may improve mood and libido when used appropriately. Consult certified peptide professionals, ideally members of the International Peptide Society, who have documented the safe and effective use of over 100 peptides, some of which can be used for depression. Psychological factors affecting sexual function. Anxiety management is essential. Any form of anxiety reduces sexual function in both men and women. Depression is a major factor in diminished libido. Relational closeness and emotional connection enhance physical intimacy. Negative dynamics, such as harshness, hostility, disrespect, and lack of romance, can negatively impact intimacy. Simply, without calm, safety, play, friendship, and the feeling of being valued, long-term good sexual functioning is hard to impossible, depending on the person and the century. The importance of foreplay. Foreplay is often a misunderstood aspect of sexual intimacy, particularly among men who receive no training in it. Pornography depicts fast penetration and rapid orgasm for both genders. This is the opposite of foreplay. In relationships where a woman's libido is affected by antidepressant use, prioritizing non-penetrative intimacy, such as touch initially far from primary sex organs, calm, affectionate conversation, discussion of feelings as part of making connection, and extended non-vaginal foreplay can become especially important in maintaining a satisfying and meaningful sexual relationship. Wise lovers know it is rare to naturally understand another person's emotions and physical sexual desire, locations for precise stimulation. Assuming knowledge of a lover's hormones, biochemistry, and areas of discomfort or pleasure is flawed, since those may change over a week, year, or decade. Instead, over-communicate about sexual and emotional sensitivity and feelings and anything lowering or increasing the intimacy between you. In the beginning of a sexual relationship, the idea of simplistic romantic true love is profoundly flawed. Why? In romantic true love, your lover knows your feelings, thoughts, and intimate body areas without you sharing in any detailed, meaningful way. This is utter nonsense. The reality is the best lovers never stop learning what gives their lover pleasure. Fulfilling sexual intimacy requires more communication than anything else in the relationship. Chapter 4. Therapy. A quick guide to its basics and benefits. Therapy is highly effective in two key ways. Identifies and challenges automatic negative thoughts contributing to depression, which is a core element of cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. Creates a safe, supportive environment with unconditional acceptance, like the care of a nurturing mother. Correcting negative thought patterns using cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. Many negative thoughts fueling depression are irrational and self-destructive, such as, everyone hates me, I will never be successful, I am worthless. These thoughts are exaggerated. For example, in my treatment of a real child who was hated at school, 3 did not like him, and 3 enjoyed him, since they often shared lunch, and 27 had made no comment. Therefore, 30 did not hate him. Therapy helps restructure negative thoughts into more balanced, reality-based perspectives and can add skills to improve reality, emotional healing, and profound safety. Therapy provides a safe space to express feelings, fears, and past experiences, helping process emotional pain, anger, and resentment. Why therapy is beneficial? A therapist can assist in managing purposeless guilt that hampers your productivity and fosters a sense of failure. Healthy guilt plays a vital role in upholding our moral compass, shaping us into individuals of integrity, and keeping us within the bounds of the law. For example, you may enjoy stealing police cruisers. Therapy will help reduce arrests and jail time, allowing you to enjoy eating better by avoiding jail food. Professional help is normal. Would you feel guilty for calling a plumber when a pipe bursts? Mental health professionals like psychologists and clinical social workers are experts in depression, just like doctors treat physical illnesses. Seeking help is a logical step, not a flaw. Anyone mocking the pain of your depression is showing empathic failure. Would they care for themselves if a knife was in their thigh? Major depression can feel as bad as a knife wound for some. I started working with addictions in 1982 and wrote a textbook on Suboxone, the best medication to help people come off opioids. I also treat pain aggressively. My father was an OBGYN, so he delivered babies. He once said, "I do not know how much it hurts to have a baby, so I assume the worst." As a result, he had a vast range of pain treatments ready if requested. He had empathy for what was unknown to him. Someone who cares but has never experienced depression should assume that it is worse than you report. For example, I enjoy treating my female patients for women's health issues, but it is outside my experience because I am a man. The same is true for depression pain. People can care for mystery pain that they do not understand. If your loved ones and your doctor have never experienced severe, persistent pain, they may struggle to have the high amount of empathy that you deserve. But please hear this. Often, they have profound love and a passion to care, but you feel they do not get it fully. Let me offer a thought. Who really gets it fully? I think only God. Yes, people may sympathize with you, but that does not feel deep enough, right? When you say you are tired and yet have restless sleep, I totally understand, but we have not met. I cannot love you with presence and a real relationship, and if you want to talk with me, there will be a fee. What a jerk. I know, but your loved ones really do offer both presence and real love imperfectly. The quest for unconditional love typically creates impossible expectations for friends and loved ones. You may have to accept that your depression symptoms may seem like Arabic to them, but if they are trying to understand and trying to communicate with you when you are sad or cranky, that sounds like love to me. Receive it. Years ago, when I offered presence and empathy as a highly trained therapist, I was trying to offer a small taste of heaven. I entered all the past and present trauma of my patients, all the chaotic feelings and thoughts we worked through together to create a positive change. For example, their bitterness and fears melted. They eventually became highly empowered, stronger, kinder, and more loving and forgiving. They became a different person. A routine issue with my therapy patients was anger and resentment towards their parents. You will likely never have the father you want, and men will never be the father they hope to be. See my book, The Father to the Fatherless, in press. The same is true of great mothers, grandparents, and therapists. The key to personal and private therapy is brutal honesty in the presence of your therapist. My past patients, over time, learned about hate and bitterness. These harsh feelings slowly faded with the power of profound acceptance, the strong support of a psychologist, priest, minister, rabbi, family friend, or social worker. You share your depressive feelings, and they offer intimate acceptance. Christians believe if you share with God your defects of character and ask for forgiveness, you can be whole. A therapist who is an atheist can offer this same amazing care. My personal experience with therapy. I sought therapy after noticing classmates in medical school who were unusually calm during high-stress experiences. I recall feeling alienated from my father, and we worked through my alienation and anger so that I was able to forgive him. Slowly, far too slowly, I lowered my idealistic expectations of my father's parenting. I am still surprised that therapy and prayer removed all the anger completely. and what had angered me in past decades is now just dust. Then after counseling, I had many intimate and wonderful times with my father. He became my hormone mentor, guiding me every week for many years. It was utterly delightful. In the middle of an hour medical session with a patient who had a complex gynecology issue, I would call him, discuss all the complex hormones or functional medicine issues, get his advice, and offer it to the patient who was sitting there watching this outrageously fun relationship. This is an example of total reconciliation, which can reduce depression. The goal of therapy for a depressed person is to know they are not alone. They are understood. They receive support and guidance so they do not make decisions that will increase their depression. A skilled therapist helps build resilience and strengthens your emotional core and beneficial relationships. The intimacy with the therapist or other healer is eventually reproduced in other relationships. My healing and great intimacy did not stop with my therapists or father. It expanded to my wife and soulmate Olga, other family like my beloved sister Maureen, my children, and old friends like Mike and Dave. Human connection helps us endure almost anything, including depression, if we are not alone. Christians throughout the world report that the profound acceptance and forgiveness of God empowers mood and reduces depression. Have you experienced sexual or physical assault, severe abuse, war trauma, poverty, or lived with someone who had a severe personality disorder? If you've experienced trauma, seek a therapist who specializes in PTSD and trauma recovery. Trauma can lead to major depression and PTSD, making expert support crucial. Finding the right specialist or support group may be challenging, but is essential for healing. Treatment can set you free, while memories may remain and matter. Emotional pain can fade. In my practice, I have treated victims of rape and severe child abuse and witnessed how therapy can lead to recovery. These individuals no longer live controlled by their trauma. Skilled psychologists today use proven techniques to help trauma survivors heal. Gradual exposure therapy, in which you share experiences at a tolerable pace, is often beneficial. After repeated exposures, your memory eventually stops triggering intense reactions and begins to settle. For example, what if you are very afraid of rats? A white lab rat may feel unsettling. You might start by looking at a picture of a rat, which makes you quite stressed, an 85 on a 0-100 scale. Over 90 minutes, the 85 drops to 15. Your mind calms with persistent exposure. You may then progress to watching a video of a rat until the number drops again. If you need a psychologist, PhD, PsyD, or master's degree, or a psychiatrist, a physician, who specializes in depression medication, go ahead and seek help. Consider using both. Using both may speed your recovery. PTSD or trauma counseling can improve emotional literacy and maturity. Many people suppress their pain, believing they should tough it out. If this resonates with you, discuss it with your therapist. Even saying, "I really don't want to be here," is an excellent starting point. CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, may be effective in person or by video talking like Zoom. EMDR therapy, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, for PTSD-related depression usually requires in-person sessions based on the expert. The most appropriate approach depends on your individual needs. Discuss this with your therapist. Trauma healing is advancing rapidly, leading to more effective treatments. Feeling a connection with your therapist or psychiatrist is crucial. If you instinctively reject a therapist, it may not always be their fault. They might remind you of a painful past experience or resemble someone harsh from your history. However, working with someone you genuinely like is important for comfort and faster healing. Interviewing at least 3 therapists is ideal unless you intend to attend only a few sessions, which may offer limited benefits. Meaningful healing requires commitment, both financially and emotionally. Insurance might cover only part of the cost and may direct you to less experienced counselors. A key question to ask is, how many years have you spent in personal therapy? Most therapists do a better job after years of mastering their own emotions and thoughts as the client. Personal sharing from a therapist should be minimal and purposeful. A therapist saying, "My father died last year. I understand your loss," may be helpful in rare cases. However, if they frequently shift the focus to themselves, consider it a red flag. A good therapist should rarely talk about themselves. You don't need to know their favorite color, personal beliefs, or philosophical interests. The focus should be on you. How to assess a therapist's personal sharing? Ask them directly, "Why are you talking about yourself in my therapy session?" If saying that feels insulting, add a warm, caring look. Are you turned off by them talking about themselves? If you cannot be honest in therapy, are you able to be honest and set boundaries in your other important relationships? If you cannot be honest in important relationships, you are dying inside over time. Pause and reflect on their answer. The worst-case scenario is that you are bothered by it, and you are helping create a working relationship to address deep feelings. My concern is that if you are not blunt about being annoyed by hearing about their favorite cheeses, you may not be blunt about your suicidal fantasy involving your father's gun or about taking a bottle of pain pills. Will you mention risky sexual thoughts or impulsive money decisions to your therapist? The author, KM, was avoidant with her male therapists but was able to work well with a strong female therapist. If you can't be open, you are wasting your time. Some therapists use stories to explain medical points. This can help with memory retention for those struggling with brain fog. It is a difficult balance. My stories and medical pearls are often remembered for years, but take time to share. The issue is that each patient needs a different approach. Teach your therapist your approach. Do you like to talk the first 20 minutes without interruption? Do you want to start with structured work? Communicating what works in therapy. Clearly express what helps you and what makes you uncomfortable. Your therapist should adjust accordingly. Some patients hesitate to voice concerns because they want to be liked and fear that constructive criticism will cost them their therapist's approval. You or your insurance are paying for this care. The best experience is when you are involved and sharing your preferences. No one can read your mind or know your feelings. Remember, this therapeutic relationship should support any mood treatment. Therapist training and professionalism. Some therapists lack proper classroom training, supervision, or personal therapy experience. As a graduate school psychology instructor, I once lectured on the real reasons people become mental health workers. Half the class quickly walked out overwhelmed, while the other half found it eye-opening and came up front to meet me with big smiles. Guess which half had done some personal therapy on themselves? If a therapist says, "I just want to help people," that's not a sufficient answer. With thousands of ways to help others, why did they choose therapy or counseling as a job? Many do it because they have felt or seen psychological pain, just like a police officer whose family was mugged in her youth. Unprofessional therapist behaviors. Unlike most MD psychiatrists or PhD psychologists, some therapists may abruptly end the relationship. For example, a patient in New York loved her therapist at a local mental health center, but suddenly the therapist announced, "This is our last session. I am being promoted." She was stunned and left feeling abandoned. Such abrupt terminations provide poor care for a depressed patient. Ensuring a reliable therapist. Questions to ask before committing to a therapist. Are you expecting any major changes in the next year, such as retirement, relocation, or a job change? Are you dealing with any personal health issues, for example, cancer, that could affect our work together? Request a written agreement requiring a 6-week notice before termination, excluding accidents and sudden health trouble in family or themselves. The worst they can say is no. If they have a severe car accident, you may not get many final sessions. My concern is not with sincere therapists, but with counselors who know that dropping you is likely and still accept you as a client. Raise the issue of potential sudden termination before agreeing to work together for more than a few months. Your mind and body are connected. Your thoughts and emotions directly influence your brain's biology. The biology of your brain directly influences thoughts and emotions. Therapy can help in both directions. Beware of underqualified therapists. Some individuals working in mental health lack proper clinical training. A college degree alone does not qualify someone to practice therapy. Always verify credentials before trusting someone with your mental health. The role of faith in healing. Some psychologists may not align with your faith or beliefs, so communicate your preferences. If you value spiritual perspectives, let your therapist know that you prefer to avoid discussions that contradict your beliefs. Wisdom exists everywhere. I've personally learned brilliant insights from atheists who are close friends while maintaining my own faith. We all have functional gods: money, family, sex, power, children, or God. Certain religious traditions can be either supportive or slow to accept psychiatric or psychological healing. Some church leaders, despite good intentions, lack education or experience with depression. But that is changing. Clergy are offering the many gifts of faith that have contributed profoundly to many centuries of culture and science, together with acceptance of proven mental health medicine and science. We believe more help from any source is better treatment of depression. No competition, just respect for the goal of restoring you. Faith and professional therapy can work together. I pursued a master's degree in Christian theology and a degree in world religions to connect with people from many backgrounds. Even atheists, Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims who I have helped have jokingly referred to me as a Jesus freak. I loved it, probably too much. The Almighty God is not fragile. Embrace your faith during therapy. It will last longer than a career, a parent, your family name, money, or 20 other common gods or number ones in the world. However, consider that some beliefs may promote depression. For example, some believe if you live with great love and integrity, you will escape great suffering. This is profoundly false, yet many believe it emotionally. Bad theology can hinder contentment. The right therapist. Education and experience. Educational background matters. Only consider therapists who hold at least a master's degree in psychology, social work, or a related mental health field. Higher education typically indicates greater knowledge and more comprehensive clinical training. Experience also matters. The longer they practice, the more they learn. Setting realistic expectations. If three therapists don't meet your expectations, consider the following. Are your expectations unrealistic? Are you experiencing resistance to counseling? Did not relate well to male therapists? Discomfort at the beginning is normal and often fades with time. Therapy as exposure. Many individuals feel uneasy initially, but by the fifth session, they often feel significantly calmer. Why? Repeated exposure helps reduce anxiety and build trust. Therapy from above, a power greater than depression. If you are not a believer in God, feel free to skip to the next section. When I was 7 years old, struggling with deep depression caused by severe bullying and physical assaults by older, larger youth. Being the youngest and smallest was incredibly difficult. At that age, I didn't have the words to express my pain, so I buried my feelings, convinced I was a failure. At one point, I even considered escaping my despair by inserting a wire into an electrical socket, but I stopped when I noticed a personal presence, like the shimmering heat rising off a hot car hood, filling the corner of my bedroom. I instinctively knew it was someone. I stopped crying. Why? Because I was no longer alone. Years later, during my third year of medical school, I found myself crying for an hour every morning while praying, without understanding why. This seemed to come out of nowhere. I kept it to myself because I felt ashamed. I believed that doctors couldn't afford to be flawed or weak. Some of my religious friends, who meant well, assumed my suffering was due to personal shortcomings or sin. And I certainly had both. But my depression in this instance was caused by a biological condition that required medical treatment. The Bible and other religious texts is not a neurological or psychiatric biochemistry textbook, and in the Bible, the suffering of Job and Jesus was not due to their sin. Eventually, I confided in a psychiatrist friend. After just 7 days on an antidepressant, the sadness vanished. That was over 35 years ago. Today, I still take 2 antidepressants, and I am quite joyful and content. How long should a person with depression take medication? That is a decision to be worked out with your doctor. One goal of therapy is to help you feel stronger. Deep probing into past hurts is usually not helpful because depression makes you very sensitive to many things, including past pains. Explore the past when the depression is past. The power of presence. I once worked with a savvy businessman from California who had served in Vietnam. He became overwhelmed with terror as his cruise ship approached that country. He was desolate and crying uncontrollably. Although I hadn't served in Vietnam myself, I felt deep compassion and care for him. Depression often makes you isolate yourself from kind presence, which ultimately is love that can come from anyone. Building stronger social connections. If you lack three close friends, read Collecting True Friends by Elizabeth Duncan Hawker. Join two interest-based groups, such as exercise, music, sports, mechanics, computer games, gardening, book clubs, job networking, social gatherings, or volunteer programs. Ways to meet like-minded people. Try online platforms like Volunteer Match or Meetup. Reconnect with hobbies you once loved. Why not start this week, or at least consider it, so you can take action when you are a little better? Chapter 5. Treatment with other medications. New depression solutions emerge every 2 to 3 months. I do not mean merely medication treatments. In this book, we have covered many types of treatments in addition to synthetic medications. In just the past 6 months, numerous new options have surfaced. Practitioners searching for alternatives can expect to find at least 2 new treatments every 4 months. New depression solutions, which are not merely medications, are constantly coming to light. Antipsychotics in depression treatment. New generation antipsychotics are now commonly used for treatment-resistant depression. The term antipsychotics is misleading, as these drugs also act as mood stabilizers, enhance sleep quality, reduce panic symptoms. Have you tried intravenous ketamine or nasal esketamine? Prosody for depression and nasal esketamine are used for treatment-resistant depression, meaning traditional antidepressants have failed. Ketamine for depression is typically administered through intramuscular injection or intravenous infusion, while esketamine is delivered as a nasal spray. Insurance coverage for ketamine and esketamine treatments varies significantly, and approval often requires patients to have tried and failed multiple traditional antidepressants. Medicare generally does not cover ketamine infusions, but does provide coverage for esketamine nasal spray. Esketamine nasal spray is administered only in FDA-approved healthcare facilities that comply with strict regulations designed to minimize the risk of addiction. If you are considering this treatment, consult your psychiatrist to discuss their perspective on the option, as well as potential side effects like dissociation or possible bladder issues. I have more experience with intravenous ketamine, which has been in use since 2010. Within a 30-minute radius of my office, there are 4 treatment centers offering this therapy. The dose of intravenous ketamine is determined by body weight and adjusted based on individual response. Treatments are typically administered 1 to 4 times per month. If effective, benefits are usually observed within days, but may take up to a month. Some patients may also benefit from intravenous ketamine booster sessions after 3 to 4 months. Reports suggest that intravenous ketamine has a success rate of 70% to 80% for treating depression that hasn't responded to other therapies. A study analyzing 1,800 patients conducted by Baji found that intravenous ketamine is more effective in treating major depression than nasal esketamine. If you wish to learn more, Dr. Theodore Henderson's Brighter Days Ahead offers insight, clarity, and scientific expertise on ketamine. Semaglutide. A powerful anti-inflammatory peptide has benefits far beyond weight loss. This medication has gained widespread attention through advertisements highlighting its role in weight loss. In our practice, we have successfully used it at extremely low doses, well below the FDA-approved initial dose. Some of our patients are particularly sensitive to medications or exhibit multiple markers of high inflammation or infection. Using very low dosing has worked well, especially during the first month. In such cases, we begin treatment with a fraction of the pharmaceutical company's recommended starting dose. Taking a low and slow approach has never been a decision we've regretted. This method minimizes the risk of severe nausea and vomiting. Over a period of 2 to 3 months, we gradually increase the dose if it is tolerated. Since muscle health is crucial, we strongly recommend resistance training, whey protein, and micronized creatine supplementation to help preserve muscle mass. Recent research suggests that semaglutide provides anti-inflammatory benefits throughout the body. Emerging evidence indicates potential benefits for the heart, liver, brain, and other tissues. It may also help alleviate depression in some patients. Side effects exist, but can often be mitigated by initiating treatment with a very low dose. Even an initial 0.5 mg starting dose may be too high for many patients. Metformin's potential as an antidepressant augmenter. The exact mechanism through which metformin may improve mood is not yet fully understood. But potential reasons include better glucose regulation, reduction in systemic inflammation, improved insulin function, potential anti-cancer properties, modulation of gut bacteria, which influences brain health, increased production of neuroprotective chemicals, altered neurotransmitter activity, enhanced mitochondrial function that makes cellular power. Metformin is one of many substances proposed to support healthier living. My perspective is that anything shown through research to significantly improve overall health might also help reduce symptoms of depression. The field of geroscience, the study of extending health span, the period of life spent in good health, is rapidly growing and may offer new insights into depression treatment. For an introduction to geroscience, visit Aviv Clinics Summit Longevity, https://aviv-clinics.com/blog/wellness/. Should emerging health span enhancing therapies such as medications, herbs, peptides, nootropics, and nutrients be adopted? Human clinical trials will help determine any clear mood benefits, how long a benefit lasts, and its safety. Adding dopamine-based medication, such as ADHD stimulants, can help with depression. If diagnosed with both major depression and ADHD, it is crucial to address both conditions for effective treatment. Patients with co-occurring depression and ADHD typically respond well to treatment, though addressing depression first is generally the best approach. However, in this case, I'd like to explore the use of stimulants for treating depression in severely depressed individuals without ADHD. Well-known stimulant options like Ritalin and Adderall exist in various doses and forms. In my 1997 publication in the Journal of Neuropsychiatry and Clinical Neurosciences, I showed how uncommon medication, selegiline, released microstimulant levels and restored mood and function of a disabled brain-impaired youth. This youth experienced zombie-like glazed feelings on a mere 5 mg dose of Ritalin, and yet improved his mood and contentment on just 2.5 mg of selegiline. Can low-dose opioids, tramadol, or even the anti-opioid detox drug Suboxone help with depression? Do pain medicines have antidepressant actions? We already know that the treatment of pain improves mood, but can mood be improved by these medications when pain is not present? The answer will most likely come from future research. Opioids versus addiction. Addiction harms relationships, employment, and overall stability. However, in controlled low doses, some psychiatrists consider opioids Suboxone for treatment-resistant depression. We are still reserving our opinion. Caution: physical dependence. Opioids, including Suboxone, can cause physical dependence within 3 to 7 days. Suboxone blocks stronger opioids, for example, oxycodone heroin, while providing mild pain relief. Powerful off-label prescriptions for depression. Abilify, aripiprazole, is a cost-effective option used for schizophrenia, mania, and tics, but also has improved the mood of some individuals with depression. Can the reason be that it settles inflamed or excessively reactive nerves resulting from various medical problems? We do not know. But it has worked in my depressed patients with antibodies against their own neurons and/or Bartonella, Lyme disease, and Babesia. I have also used Seroquel, quetiapine, for many years with good success, usually at a low dose. It also is covered by insurance. Other medications to augment your treatment. More expensive and potent options include Geodon, Rexulti, Vraylar, Fanapt, Latuda. Dosing considerations. Starting with low doses, such as 1/8 to 1/4 of a pill, can minimize the risk of side effects. If the dose feels too potent, a compounding pharmacy can easily make a profoundly low dose, for example, 0.25 milligrams. I have found that prescribing tiny doses for people with infected, inflamed, or chemically sensitive brains can be helpful. You may also discontinue a medication that you and your psychiatrist feel that you are allergic to, or the highest dose offers no benefit. Sometimes new patients come to me having tried 3 antidepressants in 9 weeks. I doubt that any antidepressant can be carefully and completely tried in 3 weeks. Psilocybin. This mushroom derivative is gaining recognition as a potential treatment for major depression, although it is not yet legal to prescribe in most states. Could a short trial of lamotrigine help? Consider a 6-week trial of the antipsychotic medication Lamictal, lamotrigine, at 100 mg twice a day. If there is no improvement, proceed to the next treatment option. Lithium augmentation. Lithium is widely recognized as a treatment for mania, but it may also be effective for treatment-resistant depression. Alivizos writes that a lithium dose of around 300 to 450 milligrams, which is a microdose, helped 51% of depression treatment failures. And a profound study by Cipriani, involving over 3,400 people, found that lithium may reduce suicide risk by up to 400%. A large-scale study in Finland, involving approximately 123,000 individuals hospitalized for severe depression, found that lithium was the most effective treatment for preventing rehospitalization. Additionally, lithium alone prevents repeat hospitalizations in about 70% of depressed patients. Auvelity, bupropion, and dextromethorphan. Auvelity, bupropion, and dextromethorphan combines a low dose of bupropion, Wellbutrin, with dextromethorphan, a mild pain reliever. Dextromethorphan works differently from typical opioid pain medications. A study highlighted that it is useful for people experiencing increased pain sensitivity from opioids. Fortunately, this heightened sensitivity is not common. Dextromethorphan's effectiveness in individuals with worsened symptoms from conventional opioids highlights its distinct mechanisms of action. However, my concern with Auvelity is its relatively low dose of bupropion. Over the last decades, most of my patients needed 450 milligrams per day and rarely a higher dose if the blood level was low. Primary care doctors and internists often prescribe 300 milligrams per day. You must take more than 4 tablets of Auvelity to reach the dose of 450 milligrams, which is often needed for full recovery. Dextromethorphan is a common ingredient in over-the-counter cold medicines. Although generally safe at recommended doses, it has the potential to be habit-forming, intoxicating, and in extreme cases, life-threatening. Some sources suggest that the use of dextromethorphan can result in effects similar to PCP. Drugs.com lists the highest daily dose as 120 milligrams. Auvelity contains 45 milligrams of dextromethorphan per pill. If a patient were to take enough to reach 420 milligrams of bupropion, they would be consuming 180 milligrams of dextromethorphan, 60 milligrams higher than the typically recommended maximum dose. Individuals with brain infections, excessive inflammation, or abnormal blood test results may have difficulty tolerating such a high dose. Another study found that while dextromethorphan can be effective for pain management, the optimal dose often causes excessive side effects. Reducing the dose to 3 tablets per day, 135 milligrams of dextromethorphan, lowers the bupropion dose to 315 milligrams daily, but this often proves ineffective. Therefore, it is better to use them separately, as my colleague psychiatrist Jane Mark recommends. Following Dr. Mark's approach, prescribers can use 150 milligrams, 300 milligrams, or 450 milligrams per day of bupropion, depending on the patient's needs. Memporcetidlith. If pain management is needed, there are at least 20 alternative treatment options, including dextromethorphan, at a safe, tailored dose specific to the patient's body and level of pain. The primary purpose of most combination medications is convenience rather than improved efficacy. They rarely offer added benefits, except for combination treatments for malaria, TB, or high blood pressure. The production cost of this pain and depression combination is relatively low, yet it is sold at a substantial markup. If you're considering this treatment for depression, ask your doctor to prescribe the medication separately and save money by using discount services such as GoodRx.com. Try to understand the blackness, lethargy, hopelessness, and loneliness they're going through. Be there for them. It's hard to be a friend to someone who's depressed, but it is one of the kindest, noblest, and best things you will ever do, quoted by Stephen Fry. Chapter 6. Alternative treatments. Deep TMS magnetic stimulation and the newer SAINT brain modulation has exceptional benefits. Deep TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, has been clinically proven to treat depression and anxious depression more effectively than traditional TMS. Stanford's St. TMS seems to be the best form, and this treatment is available in more locations. Contact Nick Bassano at Stanford, who regularly handles many questions on this treatment and provides lists of clinics that may include one near you. His email is nbassano@stanford.edu. Author Chris Newby recently noted that another name for this is NT, Rapid Transmagnetic Therapy. This technology was developed by Nolan Williams, MD. For more information, see the end note. According to Chris Newby, research shows that SAINT, Stanford Accelerated Intelligent Neuromodulation Therapy, or Rapid TMS, has achieved a 79% success rate in treating treatment-resistant depression after just 5 days of treatment involving 10 magnetic pulses per day. This non-invasive therapy provides long-lasting relief, with effects lasting from several months to a year. No significant side effects have been reported. Key benefits of deep TMS therapy. FDA approved, sessions last just 20 minutes, 5 days a week, for 1 month, non-invasive treatment. Unlike SSRIs, it does not cause side effects such as difficulty achieving orgasm, covered by Medicare and many private insurance plans. To learn more, read an article on Rapid Magnet Pulse T Therapy for Depression, stanmed.stanford.edu/electromagnetic-depression-treatment/. Listen to podcasts at bsl.stanford.edu/news/. Near-infrared light therapy, a patented, unique option, offers a 93% cure rate. Many light therapy devices claim to enhance brain function, but are they truly effective for depression? In most cases, they help only during treatment. There is limited scientific evidence supporting the claims made by most commercial light therapy devices. Science-backed light therapy for depression. Dr. Theodore Henderson offers light therapies specifically designed for depression. Most retail light sources lack the strength to penetrate the brain effectively. Typical health lights are blocked by hair alone, reducing their effectiveness by up to 90%. Can modern light therapy cure depression? Yes. Dr. Henderson and Dr. Morris conducted a groundbreaking study demonstrating a 93% success rate in treating depression without relapse over a 4 to 5 year period. See the link for more information. www.tbi.care/nilt-applications/depression/. This therapy has also been shown to eliminate suicidal thoughts in nearly all patients. Their patented high-watt near-infrared, NIR, light therapy helps treat depression associated with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, stroke. How does this light therapy work? Activates mitochondria to boost cellular energy production, stimulates genes that promote brain healing, triggers chemical reactions that enhance neuron synapse formation and brain tissue growth, may generate new neurons from stem cells. For more information, contact Theodore Henderson, MD, PhD, 72493111U1 and www.tbi.care. Light therapy for long gray winters and SAD. Recognizing seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Symptoms, fatigue, low mood, lack of motivation, excessive eating, effective treatments, travel to a sunny location, for example, Florida. Light therapy mimics sunlight, so it is full spectrum light, not red light or infrared. Sunboxes, 2,500 to 10,000 lux. My best success in the northeastern U.S. is with 10,000 lux, full spectrum light bulbs, affordable alternative, white light therapy, scientifically supported. How to use light therapy. Higher lux equals better effect. 10,000 lux recommended. Do not stare directly at the light. This non-infrared high lux light affects mood through the eyes, not the skin. Why do many experienced physicians choose electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, for their severe depression? In 1987, I critiqued electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, believing it was madness. However, I later saw its effectiveness for patients, especially those with severe depression or psychotic depression, when other treatments failed. ECT involves applying an electric charge to one side of the head, followed by mood assessments within 24 hours. My memory test showed no significant changes, though bilateral ECT can cause temporary memory loss, which usually improves. If considering ECT, inquire about supra-threshold energy, which may prevent memory loss. After only a few ECT treatments, some patients who were once suicidal became stable and happy. I understand this may be hard to believe. I also watched One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Vagus nerve stimulation. Vagus nerve stimulation, VNS, originally developed for epilepsy, was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, in 2005 for treating treatment-resistant depression. This small device stimulates the vagus nerve using electrical impulses from a stimulator implanted under the skin. High-quality research shows that vagus nerve stimulation, VNS, provides long-term benefits, although results may take 6 to 24 months to appear. While the implanted device can be expensive, there are more affordable external devices designed to stimulate the vagus nerve through the neck or ear. The side effects of the implanted device are typically mild, and VNS is considered successful if it reduces depression by at least half. It's also associated with lower suicide and mortality rates and may aid in bipolar depression. Additionally, some individuals who don't respond to electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, have found relief through vagus nerve stimulation. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy promotes brain repair. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy is a high-pressure oxygen treatment that increases oxygen levels in the blood and tissues. Professional football players use it to heal injuries, and many orthopedic doctors recommend it for their patients. Fung's research demonstrated that HBOT significantly reduces depression scores. Dr. Merrill Holly, director of the largest HBOT facility in the U.S., reports that some patients who have not responded to traditional antidepressants experience symptom relief, sometimes by the end of a treatment session, particularly for rage and emotional dysregulation during HBOT. One HBOT advocate became interested in the therapy after noticing the effects of diving below 33 feet in saltwater, where the pressure mirrors that of HBOT. "Any time I got below this depth, I always felt wonderful. I felt a mild euphoria for an entire day afterward." In my review of HBOT's actions, I observed that it produces a surge of oxygen in the liquid portion of the blood. It creates so much oxygen in the watery plasma that the red blood cells are not needed to get oxygen to all the distant and deep parts of the brain. There is an increase in neuron growth factors, help with some neurotransmitters, brain cells reach out and connect much more. Mitochondria make many changes that are critical in neuron health and healing. Mitochondria replication and improved function occurs, and there are increased blood vessels in tissue like the brain. In some people, it is a useful tool for a healthy mood. Stem cell therapy. Dr. Joy Kong, a leading expert in stem cell therapy derived from elective C-sections, is a psychiatrist and physician trained in anti-aging medicine, specializing in treating major neurological and joint damage using intravenous IV stem cells. She is also an active and engaging speaker on YouTube. Implant. According to Dr. Kong, young, active stem cells play a critical role in repairing damaged or diseased tissues. She reports that in animal studies, stem cells move directly to injured areas and begin the healing process because they have the unique ability to sense and target injury throughout the body. Since major depression is linked to biological impairments, stem cell therapy holds significant promise as a future treatment. Studies in rodents have already shown that stem cell therapy alleviates depressive symptoms. Additionally, Dr. Wu supports the use of mesenchymal stem cells to repair brain damage. He reports, "These stem cells affect damaged brain regions, stimulate neurogenesis and neuroprotection, and reduce inflammatory responses, thus positioning them as a promising candidate for cell-based depression therapy." Recent studies by Li, Wang, and colleagues support stem cell therapy as a potential treatment for depression. Their findings highlight a significant reduction in inflammatory chemicals in the brain and an increase in anti-inflammatory activity. Li and Wang conclude, "stem transplantation as a potential new therapeutic modality holds promise for promoting the functional restoration of neuronal cells and tissue regeneration, particularly in neurodegenerative diseases and depression." The amazing ways stem cells may help treat depression: reducing inflammation, stimulating nerve growth, neurotrophic effects, boosting serotonin production, increasing dopamine levels, decreasing oxidative stress, improving mitochondrial function, preventing mitochondria from releasing excess free radicals that damage cells, lowering pro-inflammatory markers, IL-6, IL-1, and TNF-alpha in depressed patients, enhancing anti-inflammatory activity, supporting healthy microglial function in the brain, protecting brain cells from inflammation-induced damage, promoting nerve regeneration, releasing factors that support neuron survival and function, repairing damaged nerve tissue. These processes also regulate the activation, proliferation, and differentiation of immune cells, thereby reducing depression. Exosomes, derived from the umbilical cord, mediate the development of depression and are currently being investigated for the treatment of depression. We are waiting for further evidence before we have a final position. Biofeedback and neurofeedback. Biofeedback helps individuals control physiological functions like heart rate and muscle tension. Patients use electrical sensors to observe and regulate muscle tension, potentially linked to pain. Biofeedback also monitors muscle activity, breathing patterns, perspiration levels, body temperature. Neurofeedback is a specialized form of biofeedback that modifies brainwave activity. The potential for biofeedback and neurofeedback to reduce depression and depressive symptoms is utilized effectively by expert practitioners, while others wait before committing to support this treatment. A few thoughts from a neurofeedback expert. Marvin Berman, PhD, strongly supports neurofeedback training, with at least 160 research papers on its effective use for depression. He reminds us that major depression and other psychiatric disorders can be understood in terms of dysregulated, inefficient brain electrical activity. Quantitative EEGs, QEEG, are non-invasive measurements of electrical activity reaching the scalp, which are compared to normal readings of voltage for gender and various ages. There are more than 600 peer-reviewed studies on QEEG and depression. This information is used to create personalized training protocols to reduce depression by increasing connectivity and other means. Berman's review of the research and decades of clinical practice shows rapid and long-lasting recovery in depression treatment, including by enhancing brain efficiency. For further details, Dr. Berman can be reached at www.quietmindfdn.org and 2674813987. Can peptides enhance depression treatment? Peptides are easy to understand. Imagine a pearl necklace. Each pearl represents an amino acid, and the entire strand forms a protein. When 3, 6, or 9 amino acids link together, they form a peptide. The human body naturally produces hundreds to thousands of peptides. Peptides can have a significant impact on the brain and depression. According to a study, electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, increases levels of neuropeptides such as Y, somatostatin, and galenin in the brain, which helps reduce low mood symptoms. One particular peptide, PE2228, has been shown to treat depression in as little as 4 days in both mice and humans. This is particularly notable, considering that most conventional antidepressants take several weeks to show effect. Additionally, PE2228 has minimal to no reported side effects. As a physician certified in peptide medicine, I can confirm that more peptide treatment options exist. The use of cryotherapy, treatments using profoundly cold temperatures for depression. Some of those who use cryotherapy propose temperatures as low as minus 160 C. Currently, this option may work with other treatments as an augmenting option to improve other treatments. A study suggests that it could provide rapid mood relief. Cryotherapy is already used in other medical fields, making its integration into psychiatry easier since we already have protocols. Your cigarettes might be providing you with antidepressant effects. Cigarettes contain over 200 carcinogens, so quitting is a wise decision. Vapor delivery may carry chemicals that line the immense numbers of fragile lung sacs, causing damage. Some daily smokers use nicotine to medicate for depression. For instance, one man in New York became suicidal after abruptly quitting heavy smoking. After successfully treating his depression, he was able to quit smoking safely and effectively. Chapter 7. Addressing medical causes. Hundreds of medical conditions can cause depression. Most advanced treatment books list an incomplete set of related illnesses, often including no more than 25. If your doctor runs only 6 basic blood tests, they may miss critical underlying conditions. In our practice, comprehensive blood and urine testing often requires 14 to 30 tubes every 2 weeks. We frequently identify at least 3 laboratory abnormalities that indicate a medical contribution to depression in nearly every patient. Over 250 medical factors can cause depression. Listing all of them is beyond the scope of this book. genetics and depression. Genetics also plays a role. People with a family history of depression have a higher risk. The closer the genetic relationship, the higher the risk. Identical twins show a greater similarity in mood disorders than cousins. Hormonal imbalances are common. Proper testing of your hormones is essential. It should include comprehensive testing of thyroid hormones, sex hormones, adrenal hormones, and more. For information on what tests to order, see Chapter 8, Thyroid System. Thyroid medications have long been used as a treatment for major depression. Even when laboratory results show normal thyroid levels, some individuals may still experience depressive symptoms. Supplementation with thyroid may improve emotional well-being. We prefer having thyroid levels, free T3, in the upper third of the normal range. Synthroid, T4. It converts to free T3 to become fully effective, a process that can take up to a month. If you start becoming nervous after 2 weeks on T4, levothyroxine, discuss this with your doctor promptly. T3 and T4 help maintain stable hormone levels. Correcting hormonal imbalances can significantly reduce major depression symptoms. Thyroid medication for depression. Research shows that thyroid hormones can improve depression symptoms. If standard treatments prove ineffective, testing and retesting thyroid levels is advisable. In rare cases, higher than normal thyroid levels may be necessary for patients to achieve symptom relief. Optimal free T3 levels. A free T3 level of 4.5 is high normal, but some patients feel better at 4.9. This approach is controversial, and many endocrinologists disagree with pushing levels this high. However, in treatment-resistant cases, some doctors may explore this option. Sex hormones and depression. Restoring these hormone levels to high normal range can help relieve persistent depression. Consult your doctor about hormonal deficiencies that may affect your health and quality of life. Bacterial infections, such as Lyme and tick-borne diseases. The Lyme and Tick-Borne Diseases Research Center at Columbia University. The center is led by psychiatrist Brian Fallon, MD, an expert in Lyme disease and author of one of the world's most advanced textbooks on the subject. Despite this, few specialists in infectious diseases have studied Lyme disease and its psychiatric effects in depth. It is often regarded as little more than a cold. Lyme is a bore. It is treated easily and quickly by doxycycline or amoxicillin, which kill the active spiral form, but this combination is ineffective against the tougher cyst, dormant, and slime-coated biofilm forms. The tick's saliva or gut often contains various other common infections. Unfortunately, most doctors test only for Lyme bacteria after a tick bite. Lyme disease and mental health risks. A large Danish study found that Lyme disease increased the risk of depression, bipolar disorder, and other mood disorders by 42%. The elevated risk persisted for many years after infection. Most concerning, Lyme disease increased the risk of completed suicide by 75% among individuals hospitalized with the illness in Denmark for roughly 3 years. Is there much research on Lyme and mood illness? Dr. Robert Bransfield, a veteran research psychiatrist, has assembled a 32-page list of references, single-spaced, from peer-reviewed studies documenting the wide-ranging effects of Lyme disease on the brain and central nervous system, causing psychiatric and neurological symptoms including depression, suicidal thoughts, and even death by suicide. Source: Robert Bransfield, New Jersey. Neurological Lyme disease is firmly established, but for some, the idea of the Lyme spirochete causing psychological disturbances is foreign. However, when you consider that 20% of your blood supply goes to your brain, it makes sense that Lyme can enter your brain rather quickly. On top of that, Lyme is an organism that loves fatty organs, like your brain. You can access this collection of references on my website, personalconsult.com, by clicking on the medical blog, scrolling to The Impact of Lyme Disease on the Brain and Nervous System, and clicking the Read the Full Report Here link. Typical large commercial national labs using outdated Lyme detection methods often return normal results, even when patients have clinically confirmed Lyme infections. Persistence of Lyme bacteria after treatment. More than 700 research studies show Lyme is not always killed with doxy and amoxy, antibiotics, and other treatments. The notion that Lyme disease is a long, simple cold shows a low appreciation that it is like a truck engine and requires a set of 10 tools to remove it from the truck body. In one study, 26% of patients had tick-borne relapsing fever, yet 98% had never been tested for it. This relapsing fever type of bacteria is common, but it cannot be reliably detected without testing performed by advanced laboratories using cutting-edge technology such as iGenX. I rely heavily on major national labs and order a large volume of tests from them, but their testing for infections spread by ticks and fleas remains outdated and unreliable. Expecting any laboratory to excel at every test is unrealistic. Beyond Lyme, the role of other infections in psychiatric disorders. Many psychiatric conditions, including depression, have been associated with infections transmitted by common biting insects, such as fleas, mosquitoes, biting flies, mites, spiders, ticks. These insects can carry various disease-causing organisms, including single-celled parasites, for example, Babesia, bacteria, for example, Bartonella, Borrelia, or Lyme disease, viruses. Some books on these infections have been written by the authors of this book and are available at personalconsult.com and traditional bookstores. These infections nearly devastated my family, my patients, and even me. Who would have imagined that a tiny tick the size of a poppy seed or a flea from a rescue pet could cause so much harm? The hidden impact of insect bites. Infections from ticks, fleas, and other biting insects can trigger depression, irritability, and restlessness, often without any obvious symptoms. Surprisingly, these infections can pass from mother to child and be carried by household pets, especially if they are rescue animals, outdoor animals, or animals that go outside without proper flea and tick prevention. A family struggle. I initially overlooked these infections in myself, my wife, my children, and even our dog. We all experienced fatigue, body aches, and mood changes while my brilliant children began struggling in school. Then, in a surprising twist, our dog started snapping and eventually bit a child who was teasing him. Ironically, our veterinarian ran more thorough tests than most human clinics offer. Our dog tested positive and treatment with antibiotics reduced his snapping. Why do even great doctors miss these infections? In medical school, I received only 3 minutes of training on tick-borne infections, and that covered just 2 of the 12 tick-borne infections. Even in continuing medical education CME courses, I have never encountered training on Lyme disease, Bartonella, or Babesia. Like 99% of well-meaning physicians, we were simply never taught to recognize or treat these infections. That's why I dedicated many years to uncovering the truth, writing 12 comprehensive books on these diseases, and providing real solutions for patients suffering without answers. Like our family, millions have been given a month of antibiotics that failed to cure the infection, but temporarily stunned the bacteria and delayed symptoms. WHO are the real experts when there is no training. In my experience, the true experts are people who've personally seen the devastating effects of these infections in a spouse, child, parent, sibling, close friend, themselves, or in a large percentage of their patients. First-hand experience creates expertise. Physicians who have treated many patients suffering from these infections have become experts through direct clinical experience. Many of the leading authors on this subject were once affected by these pathogens themselves. The result? An explosion of high-quality, experience-driven scientific knowledge. A gap in medical knowledge. If you mention Bartonella, Lyme, or Babesia to your doctor, a physician might order a test or two. But most labs still use outdated kits that miss dozens of species. You could be told you're negative, even though these tests are rarely reliable for many infected patients. Misdiagnoses are common. Bartonella infections, with 23 known human species, are missed 99.5% of the time, even by skilled psychiatrists. In 2007, I published an article in Medscape General Medicine that was the first to link Bartonella infections to depression, anxiety, panic, and irritability. Despite this awareness, progress in diagnosing and treating these infections remains alarmingly slow. Key co-infections to test for. When testing for Lyme disease, always request tests for tick-borne relapsing fever, TBRF, Bartonella, Babesia. The problem with standard testing. Standard national laboratories often fail to detect emerging species. a study found that 36% of Lyme disease cases returned falsely negative results using the common ELISA and Western blot tests. Despite researchers successfully growing live Lyme bacteria from biopsies of patients' bullseye Lyme skin rashes. How to ensure proper diagnosis? Consult a Lyme-literate doctor, LMD. LLMDs typically dedicate years to studying these infections and often treat cases outside standard guidelines authored by a small number of physicians who focus exclusively on Lyme disease and have no published books on these infections. Lyme-literate doctors have successfully treated at least 50 patients, while my colleagues and I have treated thousands. LymeDisease.org offers a directory of knowledgeable physicians who will not dismiss or refuse to evaluate you if you ask about Bartonella, Babesia, tick-borne relapsing fever, or Lyme disease. Understand transmission risks of Bartonella. Bartonella, for example, can be transmitted by at least 10 different biting insects, including fleas, ticks, pubic crabs, lice, mosquitoes, biting spiders, biting flies, sand flies, bedbugs, biting ants, mites, scabies, Bartonella's prevalence. In our forthcoming book, The Diagnosis and Treatment of Bartonella, we will discuss the possibility that Bartonella may be present in up to 20% of the human population and may be even more common than Lyme disease. Many individuals carry dormant Bartonella, but immune issues or exposure to emotional or physical stress can activate the bacteria, leading to mood changes. Affected individuals may develop depression and begin to feel physically unwell. A typical doctor appointment. The typical scenario in a doctor's office after using poor quality test kits might sound like this. Susan, great news. Your tests for Lyme, Babesia, and Bartonella came back negative. Everything looks good. The charge for these labs is only $10 because your insurance covered them. But dear reader, free testing is useless if the tests themselves are unreliable, much like an outdated 1980s cell phone. Impact on mental health. Bartonella can cause severe neurological illness and significant psychiatric disorders. A paper I published in 2007 in Medscape notes, people infected with Bartonella often require higher doses of antidepressants and stronger sleep medications. As proper treatment progresses, these medications can often be reduced or discontinued, allowing patients to return to their normal state of health. Immune system evasion and testing considerations. Tick and flea-borne infections may require a short course of treatment prior to diagnostic testing, eliminating even a small portion of pathogens such as Lyme, Babesia, and Bartonella can release a large number of dead microbial fragments into the bloodstream. Without their complex immune evasion mechanisms, these fragments trigger a stronger immune response, thereby stimulating the production of detectable antibodies. These infections have many highly effective ways to evade the immune system. As a result, you may still have an active infection, even if you feel well, except for lingering depression. A 3-week medication or strong herb trial before testing. Your doctor might prescribe a 3-week course of antibiotics to reduce infection load, but primarily to generate dead bacterial debris that boosts antibody production. If you use herbal antibiotics, probiotics may not be required. If you take strong prescription antibiotics, take at least 2 probiotics, such as those discussed in this book in Chapter 7. After 3 weeks on traditional antibiotics and the anti-malaria drug Atovaquone, Mepron, testing can typically be done within 3 weeks. If you've taken herbal treatments for a month, it's best to wait an additional 2 more weeks before testing. I follow this unusual approach because I often detect infections that even well-meaning, knowledgeable doctors may miss. One key reason for missing diagnoses is that these infections are highly stealthy organisms. For example, in one case, a young person infected with Bartonella tested negative at 3 major commercial laboratories and 4 specialized insect-borne disease laboratories. The infection was only confirmed after a small brain biopsy sample was analyzed by Dr. Edward Breitschwert of Galaxy Diagnostics, the leading expert on Bartonella, with 200 research publications. If you want to kill insect-borne infections before testing using synthetic medicine, your physician might consider 3 weeks of minocycline, 100 milligrams twice daily with food, clarithromycin, 250 milligrams 3 times daily with probiotics, atovaquone liquid, 10 milliliters or 2 teaspoons twice per day. My Babesia textbooks explain that the dose of yellow atovaquone, Mepron liquid, required to eliminate the single-celled parasite Babesia is 10 milliliters, 2 teaspoons twice a day. This is more effective than older, lower-dose regimens. If your physician does not wish to prescribe this, consider herbal treatments that do not require a prescription. For example, Zenman Tick Immune Support, available on Amazon, contains 12 potent herbs detailed in our recent second herbal medicine book. Suggested dosage: take one capsule with lunch and dinner for 2 days, then over a week, slowly increase to 2 capsules per meal for 4 weeks. Testing can then be performed 2 weeks later. What tests should you order for tick-borne infections? A standard month course of doxycycline or amoxicillin is ineffective against 3 routine forms of Lyme disease: cyst or nut forms, dormant, frozen forms, biofilm-protected forms, which are coated in a slime-like layer. See the book Combating Biofilms, Schaller and Mountjoy, 2014. We recommend using special labs with a better rate of diagnosing these illnesses than the standard commercial labs. Ask about the Tick-Borne 1.0 panel from Vibrant Wellness. Vibrant, iGenX, and others are trying to make low-cost tests that detect over 50% more infections. If your helpful doctor struggles to interpret the results, visit the laboratory's website for detailed explanations of your results. You can contact my office, and for a fee, I can read the results. After 12 books on these infections and over 30 years of experience, I can interpret the results easily. What if it looks borderline? In my experience, borderline results often become fully positive after months of treatment. I've heard occasional knee-jerk rejections from some doctors about iGenX's results. My experience is that they offer high-level scientific testing. It seems that these physicians with the knee-jerk reaction have never actually read their research, contacted the lab, or used their services. They do not know that iGenX's advanced immunoblot Lyme testing is FDA approved. The era of the unquestioned godlike doctor is over. Patients are thinking critically now. After medical school and 5 more years of intense physician training, I scrutinized medical opinions far more carefully because I realized 9 years was just a beginning and some of my teachers were occasionally wrong. Should iGenX and other advanced labs be dismissed and marginalized? It's time we brought the best physicians and scientists in Bartonella, Lyme, and Babesia to the forefront and acknowledge their decades of contributions and sacrifices beginning in the 1980s and 1990s. Do not assume that top international infectious disease specialists who treat hepatitis, HIV, tuberculosis, and Ebola are experts in Lyme disease, Bartonella, and other flea and tick-borne infections. I have completed a highly respected infectious disease board study course. The material presented on tick-borne infections in a brief 45-minute talk is often superficial, biased, and incomplete. It is not possible to address 20 complex infections in a meaningful way in such a short time. I am one of over 2,000 dedicated medical workers who use advanced, cutting-edge laboratories and have helped tens of thousands reclaim their lives from emerging tick and flea-borne diseases. Outdated, insensitive kits fail to detect Lyme disease, even in cases with a bullseye rash. However, iGenX, Galaxy, T-Lab, DNA Connections, Urine Sample, and Vibrant utilize state-of-the-art technology. Most of these specialized laboratories have each invested millions of dollars into research and assembled an elite team of highly skilled, dedicated scientists. Bipolar disorder can cause irritability, depression, and mood instability. Some medical causes are missed over 85% of the time: bipolar symptoms and mania. Associated symptoms may include irritability, increased activity, pressured speech, and reduced sleep. Mania is more severe than hypomania and can significantly impair work, academic performance, and interpersonal relationships. While antidepressants may trigger mania, they can be used safely once mood stabilization has been achieved. Infections and bipolar disorder in children. Psychiatrist Rosalie Greenberg studied childhood bipolar disorder. 89% of children in her study tested positive for pathogens like flea and tick-borne infections. Pathogens associated with bipolar symptoms included Babesia, 16 children, Mycoplasma pneumoniae, 11 children, Bartonella, 8 children, Lyme disease, 6 children, Medical training in infections. Many psychiatrists receive limited training on infections affecting mental health. In child and adolescent psychiatry, the role of emerging stealth infections such as Bartonella is rarely considered. Reactive mast cells can release thousands of inflammatory chemicals in millions, worsening depression. Different types of immune cells protect the body from illness. One of the most powerful is the mast cell. If you have depression and have never heard of mast cell activation syndrome, MCAS, it's possible that this overlooked condition is contributing to your symptoms. MCAS is estimated to affect tens of millions of Americans and can be triggered by environmental factors at home, work, or school. Why does this matter? Mast cells store and release up to 1,000 different inflammatory chemicals that help the body fight infections like bacteria and parasites. However, if mast cells become overactive due to an environmental trigger, this can lead to depression and even suicidal thoughts. Signs that your mast cells may be overactive: skin, itching, flushing, hives, sweating, swelling, rash. Eyes, irritation, itching, watering. Nose, itching, runny nose. Mouth and throat, itching, swelling of the tongue or lips, throat tightness. Lungs, shortness of breath, wheezing, trouble getting deep breaths. Heart and blood vessels, low blood pressure, rapid heart rate. Stomach and intestines, cramping, nausea, diarrhea, abdominal pain. Nervous system, depression, headaches, confusion, chronic fatigue. Why mention this in a book on depression? Research has confirmed a strong link between mast cell activation and depression. A study evaluated 125 individuals with mast cell activation disorders using depression scales and mood assessments. Most participants reported significant levels of depression. Additionally, a study published in an anesthesia journal found that MCAS can contribute to depression and other psychological symptoms. What has surprised me most is encountering people with excessively reactive mast cells who show no typical symptoms except depression. They do not have a runny nose, itching, abnormal bowel function, or watery eyes, but are severely depressed. How to find the right doctor for MCAS? If your doctor hesitates or seems unsure, it may be necessary to consult a specialist who fully understands mast cell activation syndrome. Notable experts, such as Dr. Lawrence Afrin, have shared their preferred laboratory tests for diagnosing MCAS. Many of these tests appear on the order forms available for free on my website and in his textbook, Never Bet Against Occam. Dr. Afrin has also provided me with numerous detailed notes on MCAS testing, diagnosis, and treatment. Key lab tests to assess mast cell reactivity. Before testing, it is recommended to stop all antihistamines, quercetin, and supplements of the enzyme that degrades histamine, diamine oxidase, DAO, for 1 week, unless medically unsafe. Please refer to Chapter 8 on specific diagnostic tests used to evaluate MCAS. Could MCAS be affecting you? If you are a highly sensitive person, consider just a few minutes searching in Google by typing the following into your search bar: images, MCAS, symptoms, images, MCAS, triggers, images, MCAS, treatment, toxins, and depression. Mast cells release toxins to kill viruses, bacteria, fungi, and parasites. But what about environmental toxins? They may cause mast cell overactivation or promote depression on their own. Examples are plastics detected in the human body, pesticides and herbicides, synthetic estrogens, bacterial and mold particles commonly present in dusty or water-damaged buildings, heavy metals. To support detoxification, consider EDTA chelation therapy, 250 to 500 milligrams suppositories every other night, followed by a comprehensive mineral supplement to replace essential minerals lost during detoxification. EDTA binds to and removes heavy metals, including lead. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, may also assist in detoxification, but should be used as part of a broader detox strategy tailored to your individual needs. Liquid liposomal glutathione is a powerful detoxifier naturally found in the body. It can be supplemented to remove pro-depression chemicals. Gigmeans is a convenient liquid brand and is available on Amazon. Consider 3 half droppers a day. Activated charcoal in small 260 milligrams capsules is easier to take than most larger alternatives. Taking 5 to 6 capsules before lunch or dinner or 2 hours after a meal can be effective. Charcoal binds to many substances in the gut, including all food, but not water or magnesium citrate. including magnesium citrate, may help prevent constipation, a common side effect. Zeolite Pure Capsules by Zeo Health. Each 2-capsule serving contains 1.8 grams per serving of clinoptilolite, a unique mineral that works like a magnet to attract positively charged toxins and gently and safely remove them from the body. Take 3 to 5 capsules 1 hour before meals or 2 hours after breakfast once a day, if not using charcoal that week, to help remove chemicals that may contribute to depressive symptoms. Rarely, some people may require a completely toxin-free home. Veteran toxicologist Dr. Merrill Holly has built some of these clean houses. Learn more at www.safehousingdallas.com. Autoimmune reactions can trigger depression by producing antibodies that attack brain tissue. If you experience severe depression that is resistant to multiple treatments, you may want to consider this cause, especially if you also have brain fog, new memory issues, a sense of detachment from reality, severe OCD, strep, Lyme, or Bartonella infection. Your immune system may be producing brain-targeting antibodies.